Today is the 4th of July. And you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution. But from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live. To exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Yes, happy Independence Day. It is the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantes. I'm Brian Noonan, in for Rowan Anna this week. It is our Independence Day, the day Will Smith saved us from aliens, and that is why we are all celebrating. It is a very, very exciting afternoon. Good to be with you. Big show planned. Always more fun when you get involved. 312-981-7200. That's the phone. That's the text. When you call in, you'll be talking to, yes, everybody is, except for Kevin. We'll get to that in a minute. This is going to be exciting for you. Because you'll call in and you'll talk to Cody. What? It's not a Sunday night golf. He's the executive producer from Rockford, Illinois. If you're nice to him, you get to me. As I mentioned, that was also the text number. You can use that. And if you're into social media, you can stay updated on the show and keep in touch with us there, too, Facebook and Twitter. It's Brian Noonan Show. Veronica is in the newsroom. Good afternoon, Veronica. Good to see you. It's been a while.
I know. I haven't worked with you forever.
I know. This is great. The holidays bring everybody back together. We get to say hello to Jim Ryan, who I don't think... Have we worked together, Jim? I don't think so.
We did one holiday before, Memorial Day.
Oh, well, good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Glad to have you in, and we'll be keeping you busy all afternoon, because I just judging from your 3 o'clock traffic report, things are not going to get better as the afternoon goes on.
They're not, no.
And somehow, one regular member of the Rokan Show staff, I don't know if he drew the short straw. What happened to you, Kevin? How'd you end up here? We're glad to have you, first of all.
I lost a bet. No. It just worked out. I just said I could come in. Just the
worked
way scheduling and programming worked out. So yeah.
Not too big to come in on a holiday. That's why we like you, Kevin.
This is fun anyway, so it's hardly work.
Well, we'll see what happens. Today, you may, 7 o'clock, you may punch out and go, man, that was like actually having a job. This is not good. Not good at all. We're going to talk a little bit later. A lot of things going on, not only with the Bulls, but all across the NBA today. The big free agency day, of course. Everything going on. Rajon Rondo's coming here. Pau Gasol's leaving. Everybody else is leaving. Any other defectors from the Bulls today other than Pau?
No, just Pau Gasol. So his 2-year run here in town is over.
That was expected, though, right?
It was expected. There was
nobody was shocked by this news.
Well, the Bulls continue to give some strange happenings with the Bulls organizations. Last season, they mentioned that they would like to make it a priority to bring Pau Gasol back. And then as the season started moving on, and then we got to this offseason, and then Derek got traded. It's Noah left. So that's all sort of expected as Bulls enter rebuilding mode.
Oh,
thank goodness for the Blackhawks, because it's going to be a long winter.
I was going to say, everybody loves that term, rebuilding.
Yeah,
that just means everything's going
to
be bad.
The Bulls were too afraid to even use that word. They've been calling it retooling, whatever that means.
Sure. Well, if you're in the auto industry, you know retooling means you go in, you strip everything down, and you remake it.
Right.
So that's you can call it whatever you want, Bulls. We know what's happening.
They bring in an aging point guard in Rajon Rondo, so we'll see how that works.
Assist leader, big 4-time All-Star?
4-time All-Star. For the second season in a row, the Bulls will have a point guard who used to be good.
Well,
in the starting five.
Sure. But he, according to reports, and correct me if I'm wrong, he sat down for an hour with Fred Hoiberg. They watched tape. They're on the same page. Sure, there may be a problem because Rajon likes to have the ball, as does Jimmy Butler. And as we know, it's not Jimmy Butler's team. Wink, wink. Whatever. That's fine. Could there be any more mixed messages coming out of that building?
Well, I just don't understand the Rondo signing. It's not so much that he may not be able to play anymore. I mean, he led the NBA in assists last season.
Right.
But, okay, where are you going here, Bulls? Are you trying to contend and win some games, or are you in rebuilding mode? And this is a guy who has burned bridges everywhere he's been.
Right.
Even Doc Rivers in Boston. He spent all those years there. He got on their nerves. Then he goes to Dallas, doesn't gel with Rick Carlisle. They want him out of town.
Then he's insulting officials.
He got a game suspension for using a homophobic slur during a game. And Sacramento was totally fine with moving on from him. They would rather have Darren Collison running the point. So here he ends up at the Bulls when he seems like the complete opposite sort of player you would want to bring in during rebuilding mode. A guy that's not going to be so much of a team-oriented guy, a guy that's willing to be a good locker room leader. Instead, he's a guy that doesn't really get along with coaches or
that's
fellow
what you
teammates.
Want. That's what you want, an agitator.
Right.
You know, so, building team chemistry is for amateurs, Kevin. I know you haven't been around quite as long as I have. Right. Agitation is the way to go. Everybody worked up.
That's good.
Nobody's comfortable. Everybody's on edge all the time. That's how you build a team.
That's good to know. Well, the Bulls had said there was a priority to bring Etuan Moore back.
Who?
Etuan Moore. Who had shown some flashes last year. He signed a 4-year, $36 million deal. Now, that's a player you probably would want to keep around for a rebuilding mode. Instead, you give an aging veteran a $28 million deal when Moore got $36 million for 4 years. So why wouldn't you just sign Moore if he already was a priority? He's a younger guy. He's trying to make a name for himself.
Well, obviously,
I don't get what the Bulls are doing, Brian.
They wanted an aging veteran.
Yeah, I guess so.
Didn't matter where. How can you have new guys without an aging veteran? You have to have that balance.
Well, this Jose Calderon could potentially be waived. He's 40-year-old point guard at that was just sort of a throw-in for the Derrick Rose deal.
A 40-year-old point guard.
Yeah, he was a throw-in in the Rose trade, so he may be parting ways with the Bulls, but there's
no
word
on that. Are they sure he's actually a player?
Yes.
Is there any actual documentation that this man has put on a uniform and played basketball lately?
I believe there is a few highlights and some footage of him last year playing, so I think that was the length of research they did on that deal. But he was pretty much just a throw-in player for the Rose to try to work out. Equal the numbers out in the deal.
Well, listen, everything's going to be wonderful over there. People can't wait. I don't know. Like you said, I'm waiting for the Blackhawks. That takes me through the winter.
Yes.
And then we get to baseball season again next year. And, you know, let's focus on this year for now. We've got baseball going well, fairly well on the south side, well on the north side. And we've got, you know, football coming up in just another few weeks. So we'll put basketball on the back burner for now.
21 days until the Bears open up training camp. We're not counting the days.
I was going to say, not that you're eager, are you?
Yes. No, we're ready for football. I'm always ready for football season. Right around the corner.
I normally am ready for football season early, but when baseball season's going okay, I can push it back a little bit.
Right.
If both teams are in the cellar, I go, man, when do the Bears start? But right now it's like, all right, I can watch some more baseball.
I hear you. The Cubs bouncing back today up 8-0 on the Reds, and that's the perfect treatment to a slump is face the Reds because it's an easy bounce back and the Cubs are doing
well. You would have thought that against the Mets too, kind of. not to be. And the Sox do it, coming back a little bit, bouncing back, winning with four straight series. So that's not bad.
Strong finish. Mm-hmm. We'll see what both of these teams. The Sox have a lot of pieces they need to add to this team. The Cubs maybe some bullpen arms.
Yeah, there's not. Listen, any Sox fan will tell you that. You don't get overly invested. You go, hey, that's nice. They won four straight series. That's good. nice roll. We're back above 500. Okay. So show us what happens in July after the break. Let's see.
Got to be cautious with the White Sox.
Always.
Not to get too excited. They've got to add some more pieces to that puzzle to actually contend.
And they probably will, but we will see. All right, let's do this real quick, and then we'll talk a little bit about it because it is 4th of July and people are enjoying this. And, it's troubling news. And since Kevin, you are also the resident foodie on the Rokan show,
took a bite of food.
I'm sorry. I'm going to get your thoughts on this, and we have to talk about all sorts of fireworky kind of things. And I forgot to tell you, we're going to talk to Mr. 4th of July at 4:00. After 3:30, we're going to talk to the original voice of Lucy from the Peanuts cartoons. That's right. She has a new series of books out. We're going to talk to Sergeant Mike Evans at 4:30. We'll have an afternoon arcade, a very special edition of the afternoon arcade at 5. And Tom Skilling, of course, at 6:30. So a lot happening on the Rokan show. But first, we have to go upstairs. Jim Ryan has the traffic trouble spots. This report sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Chicago Tribune delivers the stories that make the city with more journalists at work than any other local news source. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com. American woman, see what we did there? Brian Noonan in for Rokan and Anna DeVlantes. 312-981-7200. Hope you're enjoying the actual 4th of July. Independence Day. It's been a long weekend for everybody. I know Kevin had Friday off. Did you do anything exciting?
I put a little golf in the morning, and then I had a wedding, so I had that's why I had to take off.
Oh, that's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
4th of July weekend wedding. That's nice. Cody, you saw GNR not once, but twice. You went to both shows?
Yeah.
Hey, what happened with the second one? I thought I saw photos where there's about 40 people at Soldier Field. Is that right?
There was just 40. There were just 40.
There was one upper section that was closed off, but there were still probably 30,000 people.
Oh, okay.
There.
Maybe the photos that I saw circulating on social were from the early parts of it.
But. Well, it was the 400 level. They closed off the entire 400 level and sent everybody down to the 100 level.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Well, I know they were because for this you had bought regular tickets for the Friday show, but then there was a Travelzoo or something that had cheap tickets for the Sunday show.
Yeah,
right?
You could get them almost 50% off. I only paid plus service. Literally, my tickets were $30 plus over $20 in service fees.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
There's got to be some sort of law
passed
against this.
Garbage. I can't stand Ticketmaster.
Yeah, they're the worst.
Legal crooks.
Seriously.
So you got a $30 ticket and you paid over $20 in fees.
It was like $54 total.
For a $30 ticket.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem right.
Nope.
It seems like, I don't know how they get away with it. I know they do, and I know I just paid it for, you know, my Hamilton tickets.
And I wouldn't mind if they said $50 a ticket. Okay, cool.
Right.
And then you say, oh, well, it's really $30 for the cost. Like, I just give me the final price.
Right.
Don't give me all this hidden crap. I get that it's marketing, but...
I don't know. I never understand what all these fees are.
No.
Well, listen, you can print it at home, but we got to charge you for that.
That was my question. You bought this offline, Cody? Did you just buy it and print the ticket?
Yeah, it was a print at home.
So what's the
print
service
home?
Fee?
Listen, the fee is the fact that we're letting you print this ticket at home.
Sending the data through the
That's
internet
right.
to your computer? And
that costs
it?
Us a lot of money. It's a lot of effort on the part of Ticketmaster to have to go, all right, go ahead and print your own. I had to change for... some tickets that were print your own, they weren't even letting you print your own. This is for Hamilton. They don't let you print your own. You had to show them on your phone. And I was like, nah, I don't know about that noise. So I had to change to have it mailed to me, and that was another $4.50 a ticket. I'm like, a stamp is 28 cents or 32 cents, however many cents. It's not $4.50.
How much did you drop for those?
Not much, like $100 each, $115 each. Minus fee, or my 115 to face, and then fees.
Pre-service fee, 115.
Yeah.
And then with the service fee, it was like
$450. $450 a ticket. And I'm in the last row of the balcony behind a pillar. But I'm happy to
be
in the building. I'm in the room where it happens, and that's all that matters. But, so you saw, and I saw James Taylor and Jackson Browne on Thursday. Oh. I saw Def Leppard and REO on Saturday. Look at all bands that most people are like, what? But I say that, but places were packed. And I will say the Def Leppard crowd and the Guns N' Roses Friday crowd crossed over quite nicely because there were a lot of Guns N' Roses T-shirts among the myriad of black T-shirts at the Def Leppard REO show on Saturday.
Where was this at?
That was in Tinley.
Okay.
And if you ever want to see two completely opposite crowds... within 3 days, go see James Taylor, and then go see Def Leppard. And you will see 180 degrees of the audience spectrum. There were, I'm betting, three times the teeth on Thursday than there were on Saturday. And I was there, so I'm not, if you were at Def Leppard, I was there too. And I'm not bashing you.
Just an observation.
Just an observation. There was about per cubic foot, 100 times more pot smoke on Saturday than on Thursday. Thursday, a lot more Geritol, a lot more Centrum Silver, a lot of people walking a little slower. But it was both shows equally fantastic. So it just shows there's a market for everybody.
That's a good weekend. Your ears ringing?
Yeah, and then Bodine's last night at Summerfest.
Wow.
That's right. I'm all about the music. And that's it for the year. I've blown all my social stuff for the year.
Cram it into one weekend.
That's right. Why stretch it out, Kevin?
Yeah, I understand.
Live for the moment.
Yeah, then and other weekends you can just hang out, relax, sit on the couch.
Live for the moment, get that moment out of the way, and then, like you said, relax. I'm old. I can't be doing it. If I did this every weekend, I'd be dead. I would be gone. There'd be nothing left of me. On the other side of the news, this is very, very exciting. If you are a fan of the old Peanuts cartoons, Charlie Brown Christmas, all that, The original voice of Lucy, Tracy Stratford, is an author now, and she has a brand new series of books coming out. We'll talk to Tracy and find out all about that and how these books will be great for your kids. We'll do that on the other side of the news, which comes your way in just a couple minutes here on WGN.
Charlie Brown, oh, Charlie Brown.
I can't believe it. She must think I'm the most stupid person alive.
Come on, Charlie Brown. I'll hold the ball and you kick it.
Hold it? Ha! You'll pull it away and I'll land flat on my back and kill myself.
Come on, Charlie Brown. It's a big honor for you.
Well, if it's that important, a person should never turn down a big honor. She wouldn't try to trick me on a traditional holiday. This time I'm gonna kick that football clear to the moon!
Isn't it peculiar, Charlie Brown, how some traditions just slowly fade away?
It's the Roe Cod Show with Anna DeVellante's Brian Noonan in for Roe and Anna this week. They're enjoying some time out. And if you are of a certain age or any age, you've heard that voice countless times when you've watched any of the fine Charlie Brown specials, whether it's Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, any of them. Well, the voice of Lucy, Tracy Stratford, is joining me now. She is an author who has a brand new series of Charlie Brown and Peanuts books out for children to help them learn about history. Tracy, welcome to the program. Thanks for taking some time. Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July to you, too.
Now, I've got to ask because, one, I'm a huge fan of all the Charlie Brown specials. We watch them every year. I've watched them since I was a little kid. How did you come to be the voice of Lucy?
Well, actually, it started with when I was seven. It started with a documentary that they were doing on Charles Schulz. And in the documentary, they animated some of his fabulous cartoons. And then they gave voice to those. And they kind of did it as an experiment. They kind of thought it would be really cool. And they actually really liked it. The documentary never aired, but it was the catalyst for the Charlie Brown Christmas special, which is the one that I was Lucy in. And we also did about 3 years worth of commercials as well. That was Peter Robinson, Chris Shea, and I. And we were Charlie Brown and Linus and Chrissy.
Very nice. Tracy, I have to ask, I'm sorry, are you on a headset or speaker? Did you go on to a headset or speaker or something?
Nope.
Okay, because we're having a little trouble hearing you, but we'll see what we can do. So did you ever think when you were recording these specials that all these years later, people would still be watching them religiously every, not only just during the holidays, but whenever they decide that they need a little Charlie Brown and Peanuts fix?
No,
none of us had any idea how iconic
these would become.
And now, the last few years, or the last, 13 years or so, you've been working as a librarian, which is quite a change. Do people ever come in, they don't know who you are, but they hear your voice and go, boy, that kind of sounds familiar?
Well, I work at a high school, and
yes, the kids have
found out, and the 1 year the video productions class
created a montage
of all the things that I had done and all the things that I'd been in,
and they played
it on the our afternoon
news broadcast. So yes, every year kids
come by and they go, I heard this rumor.
Tracy, if we can, I'm going to ask you a favor because the connection's really bad, but I want to talk to you about the books. I'm going to put you on hold. Cody's going to call you back and we're going to get a better connection, okay?
Okay, great.
All right, hang on. Because I wonder, can you believe, Kevin, do you watch the Charlie Brown specials?
Yeah, I have in the past, of course.
Veronica, I know you've got kids. You must have watched these all the time.
You know, I loved them better than the kids did.
So do I. We watch them at home. My wife could not be a bigger Peanuts fan. And when she heard I was talking to the voice of Lucy today, she was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. I'll be listening.
And you know why we like them so much better? Because that's all we had.
That's true.
And they have so much coming at them all the time that it's just like, another cartoon.
Right, and it was a big deal for us when these specials came on every year. We were, you'd look in the TV guide or you'd look in the listings in the paper, like, what day, because they only ran them once, What day is the Charlie Brown Christmas coming out? What day is are they going to run this, the Valentine's special, and all of the other ones? And it was always a big deal.
So well, now you could just DVR it, though, back then, right?
Yeah. No, we actually would have people who would come and act them out live if we missed it. That's how... That,
show me what I missed.
Yeah.
Perform in my family room, please.
Can you take it back, please? Because I missed the part where Snoopy was the flying, fighting the Red Baron. So if you could handle that for me, that would be great. No, with DVR, we didn't even have VCRs. We had nothing. We had you either watched it or you missed it.
But you had HD, though, right?
Yeah. We... Holler at Dad because our TV was broken. That's what we had.
Send him up to the roof to move the antenna.
Right. Stand there. I can't see the TV. I know, but if you let go, then we can't. Then nobody can see it because it gets all fuzzy again.
And remember warming up the TV?
Yes, to warm up the TV. Tracy is back. Hello, Tracy. Welcome back.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's no problem at all. Before we get into the books, I have one last question about Lucy because it always kind of bothered me. Why was Lucy so mean to Charlie Brown? Is it because she really disliked him? Did she have a crush on him? And that's how kids deal with people that they like? What was her deal?
You know, I read an article by Charles Schulz one time that he said that he modeled Lucy off of his eldest daughter and that she was quite persnickety. Which is kind of a nice way of saying, you know, she wanted the world to work the way she thought it ought to work. And so I think Lucy, at the bottom of her heart, did like Charlie Brown. Not, she had her famous crush on Schroeder.
Sure.
But I think she was always trying to help Charlie Brown improve himself.
That's a good way to look at it. Turn a negative into a positive. I like that.
So, you know, she's trying to help him not be gullible, and she's trying to help him, you know, reach beyond, especially with her psychiatrist booth.
Sure.
You know, and that's the Christmas special one where she determines that, you know, Charlie Brown, you need involvement. But it's always under her guidelines, and... You know, she already had her part all mapped out. She was going to be the Christmas queen.
Of course. So as long as he did what she wanted, everything was fine. Now, you've taken another negative and turned it into a positive. There's been some troubling numbers out that kids don't know anything about American history. One of the facts that I found that you said, only 12% of 12th graders are proficient in history on the National Assessment of Educational Process, and only 2% of 12th graders can correctly identify which issue Brown versus the Board of Education addressed. And that's, you would think that's a big one that they should have studied. So you have now put together and written a series of books, Peanuts Great American Adventure. It's three books. Tell us why you decided to write these.
Well, honestly, I mean, I've always been interested in reading and in literature, but a lot of times I think that history is kind of presented in a fairly dry, memorize these dates and these facts, and
yeah.
It's important because, and you just get like one or two lines of rationale. And there are so many fascinating stories in history. And I think that history's been kind of done a disservice. I distinctly remember two of my own history teachers. One of them was in eighth grade. And literally, when we were talking about things that were really important, we come into class and our teacher would be dressed up as a character in
nice.
History. And she would act out parts. And I'm not kidding you, every kid was on the edge of their seat. They were hooked with what she had to say. And I still remember things from her history class that I don't remember from anyone else.
Because she was able to engage you, like you said, and keep your interest, whereas a lot of times I remember in history class you just glaze over because you're absolutely right. It's facts and dates. Remember this date. Memorize this date. And it's okay, but there's nothing that connects me to that date, so why should I memorize it?
Exactly. And unfortunately, that's the same kind of information, that data. That's what standardized test kids on.
Right.
And so there's no real hook. But to get kids to really understand not just history, and why something happened, but understand the people who are making the decisions and why they made those decisions, I think can be really done well through story. Because we connect with things. We connect with characters. Even if we don't necessarily like the characters,
mm-hmm.
we still connect with characters via our emotions. And then we kind of go, oh, wow. And we get a bit of a different view through another character's eyes. And we can actually learn lessons through another character's eyes.
So the three books are Hooray for Liberty, Charlie Brown, It's a New World, Charlie Brown, and Westward Ho, Charlie Brown. Is it what you're saying is about connecting and the characters? Is that why you decided to use the Peanuts characters? Because they're basically universally loved.
They actually are. And, you know, the other one of the other reasons is Charles Schulz was masterful. He was brilliant. And one of the reasons he was so brilliant is, if you really think about it, the Charlie Brown characters, all the kids usually have a problem of some sort at some point or another.
Mm-hmm.
But they never run to an adult to fix the problem for them. The kids work to solve the problems themselves, or they work to learn something themselves. And everyone at the end comes out so much better. They come out better. They come out stronger. And so having that marriage, using kids to explain, and it's the Charlie Brown character kids, having them explain history, kids can automatically identify with that, and there's no adult going, wah, wah, wah.
That's right. I never thought of it that way, but the kids do learn everything themselves. How did you decide which aspects of history to start with for these three books?
Well, it's always still a work in progress. We've kind of shifted a little bit, but those three are first and foremost kind of topics of learning for elementary school kids. And since these books are geared from basically 4 to 8 year olds,
okay.
These are things that kids learn about in elementary. So that's kind of where we started.
And so again, there's three books. And where can people get these? They're hardcover books. It's the Peanuts Great American Adventure series.
They should be able to get them through Amazon or Barnes & Noble or one of their independent booksellers, or they could look on the Regnery website, because it's Regnery Kids is the publishers, and they should have links on there to where people could get them.
Very good, and that's regnery.com. But again, Charlie Brown and the Peanuts Gang, making history easy for little kids to understand, 4 to 8 year olds. If you have a kid, or even, listen, even if you forget history, you're a lot older than 8 years old, but you're like, I think I could understand it if Charlie Brown and Lucy taught me history. These are the books for you, right? Tracy, people can be older and read them, and it's better to learn about the Declaration of Independence from Schroeder than it is to be ignorant. Would you agree?
Very true.
All right. Well, that's what we have to do. Tracy, it has been a pleasure talking to you. Everybody needs to get these books. They are Hooray for Liberty, Charlie Brown, It's a New World, Charlie Brown, and Westward Ho, Charlie Brown. Tracy Stratford is the author. She is the original voice of Lucy, and she is teaching her kids history, not just pulling footballs away from them. And I think that's commendable, Tracy. Thank you very much. And this is a patriotic song, how?
This is a patriotic song. Come on. What says America like Danger Zone and Top Gun? It's about the U.S. military, the Air Force.
Patriotic in my book. Well done, Cody.
Thank you.
Wow, all right.
The Air Force are record number of
signups. They are naval aviators.
Well, yeah, but doesn't
Beach
matter.
Beach volleyball.
Goose and Maverick.
That's right.
I was
Righteous
hoping that
Brothers.
Was my new traffic intro music.
Wow. Do you want it to be?
Kenny Loggins, sure.
All right. We'll have Cody have that ready. Have that ready at, you know, twice an hour, and we'll go right to it.
All right.
That's how Jim will know it's time to give us a traffic trouble spots.
There you go.
We'll take him right into the danger zone. It'll be very. Hey, we were talking to Tracy about history, weren't we? Sure we were.
We were.
About the Charlie Brown books. Well, guess what? History's coming back. We welcome the return of Teddy Roosevelt, presented by Conasec and Dillon Trial Attorneys, this August 13th at 10 a.m. at the MEC on the College of DuPage campus. Join WGN Radio host John Williams in a conversation with the 26th President of the United States, Teddy Roosevelt. You want a bold, bombastic bravado? That's our guy, TR. It's 2016 and perhaps one of the most important years in the U.S. presidential history. We're here to discuss what was, what is, and what may come. We're starting it off with Teddy Roosevelt. Tickets to the return of Teddy Roosevelt are on sale now. To go to WGNradio.com/events. Get all the information there to buy your tickets online or over the phone. The shows will sell out, so don't wait to get your tickets. And don't say, well, Brian didn't tell me the shows were going to sell out. Yeah, I did. They're going to sell out, so get your tickets now. At Saturday, August 13th at the College of DuPage, the return of Teddy Roosevelt is presented by Conasec and Dillon Trial Attorneys and sponsored by Visit Springfield and transportation provided by O'Hare Midway Limousine. So there you go. Go see that. Yes, tickets, you may be thinking, are tickets for Teddy Roosevelt going to be as hard to get as tickets to Hamilton? Yes, so get them now or pay exorbitant prices in the secondary market. Like $1,000. But you can get them for regular price right now, so why don't you do that? If I were to talk about fast food to you, you would think probably about what type of food, Cody? Top type of fast food.
Tacos?
Tacos, not even close.
Burgers?
Burgers, probably burgers. Tacos. Kevin, you're a food aficionado.
I would have went burger.
Would have went burger. Veronica, you want to jump in?
Sure, what was the...
fast food. If I were to say fast food, top fast food, what would you think?
Oh, Chipotle.
Chipotle, all right. That's and Jim Ryan, no Danger Zone music when you're just answering a question, Jim. Don't get greedy. No themes just for participation.
I'm going to go, since everything I would have guessed is taken, I'm going to go sandwiches, Subway, Jimmy John's, that kind of thing.
Yeah, none of you are correct. Two of you were close. Burgers were used to be the leading fast food. That was the place. But now, especially in the advent, and Kevin, you've probably followed this in your food excursions, mm-hmm. The better burger chains like Smash Burger and Five Guys and those kind of places,
right.
There was a big push for those the last few years. Oh, we got to have a better burger. Now it's chicken. It's all about chicken. A new survey put out by Nation's Restaurant News, which I know Cody is a subscriber to because he gives me his old copies, so I'm always a couple weeks behind, but normally I'm right on top of it. Chicken chains are now the largest growing fast food market, with Chick-fil-A, Raising Cane's, Chicken Fingers. You ever had a Raising Cane's? I have. I had them in New Orleans. They're phenomenal. If you like Chicken Fingers. And now they're coming here. I just saw one opening not too far from somewhere. I was driving around. I don't know why. And I was like, I said to my wife, hey, there's that place that Molly loves to go in New Orleans.
Chicken fingers.
Chicken fingers. That's all they serve. Chicken fingers.
Do they make them with the same stuff McDonald's makes McNuggets out of?
No. These are like big tenderloin-y chicken fingers.
Actual chicken.
Chicken. Well, are you saying the parts aren't parts? The nuggets aren't chicken?
I don't think the nuggets are really real meat.
That's high quality chicken
wow.
meat.
I'll tell you, I used to be a fan of the nuggets.
Burger King has the chicken fries.
Never had them. I've seen the commercials for them.
Innovative.
It's more outside.
I love the one adjective. If you had to sum it up in one word, innovative.
It's more outside than it is inside. There's like a lot of crust and not as much inside those things.
That's, you know, that's where you taste that nice coating. That's the delicious part. Wingstop. That's another big one that's jumping up. Haven't been to a Wingstop.
Neither have I. I've been off the fast food train, Brian.
I know. I was gonna say you look like like you've been slimming down.
I still stay up to date on the fast food industry, though. I like to read up on it, make sure I know what's going on.
Well, you and I are alike on that. I haven't eaten these things in quite some time, but I like to know what's what in case it ever comes up in conversation. If I'm ever at a party and somebody says, "Hey, what do you think about the niche fast food market? Are burgers topping out?" I go, "No. Burgers are not the way to go."
Brian, what are your thoughts on chicken fries? Can we get a few words on that,
please? I'm just going to give you one that I got from a trusted coworker. Innovative.
There you go.
I'm just
going to
go innovative.
With that.
Yeah, I like it. Well, what's innovative? They made them skinny. They took a chicken finger and made it real skinny, right?
Well, they're easier, and they're the fries.
They're easier.
You could dip them into the sauce.
Sure, they're not as cumbersome as those other chicken fingers. All right, on the other side of the news, we're going to talk to Mr. 4th of July. That's right, Mr. 4th of July.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand next to you.
Yes, it may seem cliche, but you cannot have the 4th of July without a little Lee Greenwood. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantes. I'm Brian Noonan, in for Rowan Anna this week. 4th of July, I hope you're enjoying yourself. I hope you took a couple moments just to sit quietly and think about it and enjoy the 4th of July. It's been a very busy weekend for a lot of us here, and but it is important to just relax for a minute and take in what it means to be an American on the 4th of July. Whatever that is to you, I don't know. Everybody's got their different thing. If you've listened to this program, to me, for any amount of time, you know sometimes we'll poke fun at Rockford. That is Cody's hometown. Voted in a number of different surveys one of the most dangerous cities in America. But, and Cody doesn't argue with that. But what do you say every time this time of year rolls around? You make a bold pronouncement.
I always say that Rockford has the best, bar none, Independence Day fireworks show I have ever seen anywhere. Ever.
And you have said that. You've said that year in and year out. And of course, because you said it, I always doubt it.
And I include Chicago. I include Disney World. I include Lake Geneva. I mean, I've seen a lot of fireworks displays. Rockford just takes the cake.
Rockford bar none. Well, there is one man who is responsible for that, who has been responsible for the fireworks in Rockford from the very beginning, and he will be at the helm again tonight. He's known as Mr. 4th of July. He is Joe Marino, and he joins us now on WGN. Joe, happy 4th of July. Thanks for taking some time today. I know you must be busy with all the preparations.
Never too busy to say hello, Brian.
Well, let's tell everybody a little bit about you, Joe. You served in the Navy during World War II in the South Pacific, correct?
Right, I was aboard the destroyer USS Henderson. We were attached to what they called DESPAC, Destroyer Pacific Fleet. Yes, sir.
And that had to be a very dangerous and scary time for you.
It was quite interesting for a 17-year-old young man.
How did you join the Navy at 17?
I lied to my parents and the draft board that said, yeah, okay, 17, you're okay.
All right.
That was during World War II, Brian.
So they were going to take, if you were willing and able, they were going to take you, whether you were a little young or not.
That's right.
Very nice. And you're born and raised in Rockford, correct, Joe?
Born and raised in Rockford, Illinois, a great city.
So you come back from World War II and you come back to Rockford, and then not much is happening. They don't really have fireworks in Rockford till 1963. And how does the mayor at that point come to you and say, Joe, we need to get some fireworks going here?
You know, that's interesting. In 1963, the then mayor, Schleicher, said, Joe, would you handle it for 1 year? We need a fireworks show on July the 4th, you know.
Right.
And I've been doing it ever since, Brian.
So had you had experience with fireworks before? How did the mayor think that you were the guy?
You know, it was then, it was just a case of knowing somebody that knew somebody that thought I could do the job, you know. And it wasn't as big a show as it is today. It was a $1,200 show with approximately 800 shells that would be shot up in the air. You'd light one and then run like the dickens. Hope that it would go straight up, you know. But,
so back then,
the beginning of our venture into the fireworks show in Rockford, Illinois.
So in that first show in 1963, they were hand lit. There was no technology, so you could stand a little bit far away. You had to light them yourself and take off.
That's right. They were hand lit. Like I say, you lit the fuse, and you run, hope it went up straight, you know, Brian.
Oh, man.
That was in 1963.
And how long did that first display go? You said it was 800 shells, about $1,200. How long a show was that?
It was about a 15-minute show.
Okay. And now let's fast forward to tonight. What are you anticipating for tonight's show?
Tonight's show, Brian, believe we will shoot 5,000 shells in the air.
Wow.
And it's one of the biggest shows that we've ever presented in Rockford. And we have shells coming from all over the world. And we have shells tennis ball size up to basketball size. So we have break shells that will break the length of a football field up in the sky. So it's quite a show. And your producer is right. We've taken this a long time, and each year we've tried to increase it and listen to the community about what they would like to see.
And what makes a good fireworks show, Joe? You've been doing this for 53 years.
What makes a good fireworks show is it's color, noise, and then spread, what we call a spread show. Excitement.
Yeah.
That's what you need to build.
You want the oohs and the ahs from the people, right?
Show.
You want people to ooh and ah.
We come up with a finale that is 3 minutes long, Brian.
Whoa.
And we will shoot 2,800 shells in the air in 3 minutes with a shell exploding every 1.5 seconds. It's quite a finale to a fireworks show.
That's amazing. Now, I know you're not lighting these by hand.
Beg your pardon?
You're not lighting these ones by hand, are you, Joe?
I can't hear you too well. I'm sorry.
This has evolved. There's no more lighting the fireworks by hand. Is it all computerized now?
No, there's no lighting of hand. It's all computerized, and it's synchronized to music. And I use some of your music that you have on your station, and I like Sinatra music and Glenn Miller in the show synchronized to the fireworks.
Very nice. Now,
people enjoy it.
Somebody texted in that said you even mortgaged your home to finance the fireworks at one point. Is that true?
Yeah, in 1979, I took a second mortgage out on my house because I was running short to pay for the fireworks show. But see, I'm very committed to it.
I guess.
The greatest country in the world, as far as I'm concerned. This is the country that gave my immigrant parents and millions of others an opportunity to serve for a better life, which in turn made my life better. But I'm very committed to that point. And we don't use any tax dollars. It's all financed through local donations from business, industry, and private citizens. And it's also televised live on one of our TV stations while it is happening.
That's unbelievable. Well, that kind of commitment is why you've been awarded the Key to the City. You've been voted Rockford Man of the Year, Mr. 4th of July, of course. You've gotten the Distinguished Service Award from the Park District, and you've gotten the Ronald Reagan Award, the President's Service Award from Bill Clinton. You are without a doubt a Rockford icon and a Rockford legend. Now, the display tonight starts at 9:30 at Davis Park, right, Joe?
Yes. 9:30 tonight, the fireworks show will start.
And about how long does this one go? I forget if you told me. How long will this display go tonight?
It'll go 28 minutes.
28 minutes. And as you...
It'll be a three-minute finale.
Well, yeah, the three-minute, with everything going off every second and a half, that's got to be something to see.
We think it's great, you know. And we've got a good fireworks company that I've worked with for the last 15 years. They're capable and they're honest and they know what we want and they produce.
And you also organize the Holiday Festival of Lights in Rockford. So you're not just a 4th of July guy. You'll take people in during the other holidays as well.
The Holiday Festival of Lights is something we started in 1989 with 11 lighted displays in Mississippi Park, and this year we had 74 lighted displays. It's a drive-through display through one of our parks in Rockford.
Very nice.
It includes a lot of work, but it's a beautiful display.
Well, Joe, thank you for your service, not only with the Navy during World War II, but obviously one citizen of Rockford is sitting a few feet away from me, and he couldn't talk more highly about you, and we're happy to have you on. Congratulations on the long run as Mr. 4th of July in Rockford. And if anybody is anywhere, Cody, how far would you drive to see these Rockford fireworks? If people are listening right now, it's worth the drive out to get there by 9:30 tonight, correct?
I think even if it takes an hour for you to get there, it'll be worth it.
All right. 9:30 tonight in Davis Park. Joe Marino is Mr. 4th of July in Rockford. I hope you're Mr. 4th of July there for a long time, Joe. Thanks for taking some time today. Happy 4th of July, and best of luck tonight.
Thanks, Brian.
Take care. That's Joe Marino. He is he's run the fireworks there since 1963. My favorite thing on 4th of July is fireworks. If you want to, you know, if you know Joe, if you've seen the Rockford fireworks, if you want to talk about a display you saw this week, if you want to talk anything 4th of July, 312-981-7200. We'll talk a little bit about that and some other things, all before the news at 4:30. We'll do that after this on WGN. Wow. What is this patriotic piece of music?
I think somebody upstairs knows.
Yeah, I got that one. Are you a wrestling fan, Brian?
Not as much as Cody, obviously.
That's Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle right there.
Mr. Perfect!
No.
No, that's not Mr. Perfect?
Close, no.
That's Kurt Hennig.
Kurt
Angle.
This is Kurt Angle, Olympic gold medalist.
I see. That's how it's America.
Your Olympic hero. Intensity, integrity, and intelligence.
The three I's. That's
wow.
Right.
None of which apply to this program. It's Brian Noonan in for Rowan, and a happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. Hope you're having a good time. We just talked to Joe Moreno, Mr. 4th of July from Rockford. A lot of people weighing in. One text. I went to Rockford some years back on the 4th of July. I have never seen better fireworks than there. They are spectacular. That from Scott. So we're talking a little fireworks. Why not? I saw a great display. I'm not saying they're as good or better. I'm saying I saw a wonderful display of fireworks last night at Summerfest. As I was sitting, this is America. I'm watching the Bodines straight ahead of me on my left out over the lake. An unbelievable fireworks display. And it was everything that the 4th of July was supposed to be. Annette's in Belvedere. She wants to jump in. Now, you want to talk about the Rockford fireworks, Annette?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they are definitely by far the best. My boyfriend's been to Chicago, Lake Geneva. We've been to many in the area. And I have to tell you that we make a point to get down as far as we can, walking in town, and then we can watch the display. And it just brings you to tears. It's just so beautiful. And Joe.
Oh no, we lost Annette. What's going on with the phones today, Cody? I'll put Annette on hold. You can see if you can find her. People are gonna go, what, did you hang up on her because you didn't like her complimenting Joe Marino? No. Are you a car? Jim, are you a fireworks fan?
I am. I was excited to get some at the both Guns N' Roses shows this weekend.
Oh, did they? Did
yes,
they? All right, Annette's back. Oh, thank goodness. Let's see. There's Annette. Hi, Annette. What happened to you? Did you leave? You get all upset?
No. My cat did, though. He jumped up by me. And
cats do not like this program. There's something about my voice that drives cats crazy. Dogs, however, love this show. Dogs love it. Cats couldn't be bothered.
I know, but no, I just definitely encourage everyone to come out and see it, even if, you know, you just get there 1 year, it's well worth the drive. I'm closer, so we definitely go. But
and Rockford is a town that does it on July 4th, right? They don't do it because a lot of places have been doing it on the 2nd, the 3rd, the 1st, August 15th. Doesn't make sense. So Rockford, it's always on July 4th.
It's always on July 4th.
Right. A
little convenient when you have to work the next day, but it's worth it.
That's all right. Well, listen, Annette, maybe I'll see you there next year. Don't bring the cat. It'll make her crazy.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks, Annette.
Thanks,
Happy 4th of July. Bye-bye. All right, Cody, I'm sold. So next year we have to go to Rockford on the 4th of July?
I'm actually, after just the interview, I'm kind of sad I'm not going to make it tonight.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Maybe we do it to, you know, we'll get a busload of people. Take a big bus. Who wants to go on a bus trip to Rockford? That's a hard sell.
But you love buses.
I hate buses. But two, my hatred of buses outweighed by my love of a good fireworks display.
You get a party bus. Have a good time on the way up there. One of those ones with a little bathroom in the back, so it's everybody's comfortable.
Sure, a pole for dancing.
Yeah, strobe lights going. Yeah, play now, some patriotic music the whole way.
I like the way you think, Kevin. You know what that is? You know what kind of thinking that is, Kevin?
Innovative.
Innovative thinking. That's what that is right there. Be innovative. Could have been just a regular bus.
Uh-uh.
We go party bus.
Party bus to Rockford.
All right. We're going to talk to Sergeant Mark Evans on the other side of the news. You know what he does? He helps out the troops. How? By sending them pizza. We'll talk to him on the other side of the news on WGN. It's the Roe Con Show with Anna DeVellantes. I'm Brian Noonan in for Roe and Anna. They are taking the week off. I will be with you all week from 3 to 7, which is my honor. 165,000 pizzas shipped overseas. Over 1,350,000 slices served. 675,000 deployed soldiers fed. And over 60 VA facilities served. Those are the numbers behind a wonderful, wonderful effort that you have heard about before, but it can never get too much attention. Pizzas for Patriots. The man who founded Pizzas for Patriots, Sergeant Mark Evans, joins me now on WGN. Mark, thanks for taking some time out. Happy 4th of July.
Hey, same to you, Brian. And what's that big list you got there?
Those are some numbers that are. This is incredible because it all started. I think back to 2008 when you started this.
Yes, sir.
Explain how the idea, the impetus came, and you know, did you ever think at that point that it would become the Pizzas for Patriots would become what it has today?
Well, you know, it's over 1.5 million slices. More than 1,300,000. It's over 1.5 million. And, no, I didn't think it would get to where it went, but, you know, looking back, I'm 57 years old now. I did some pretty incredible things. I met three presidents of the United States. I met all these generals, Schwarzkopf and all this stuff. And General Petraeus. And my wife thought I was crazy. I'm like, no, we could do this. And it just, I never stopped. In the military, the military always sends master sergeants to get it done. They just go get it done. Don't get us in trouble.
There you go. Cause you guys have that kind of ingenuity and that toughness to just,
yeah,
here's the job,
you know, just
solve the problem.
Yes, sir. And so here we are. We've shipped Lou Malnati's, Gino's East, lots of Uno's pizzas. Matter of fact, April McCraven over at Uno's on Ohio Street, downtown Chicago there. That's
nice.
The original deep dish pizza, Rob.
That's
a shout out to April.
That's my one.
Yeah, baby. And, she set me up with TV pizzas for Corey McFerrin over there at Fox, and we're just so blessed.
And so, now you guys are making your own pizza, is that right?
Well, you know, I don't own a pizza company. I'm having them made by a company that there's like four levels of sausage. There's four levels of cheese, four levels of, so you can make a cheap pizza or you can make an expensive one. And
right.
I just make sure they get the best ingredients and then we get it out to the troops. Now the military this time, you know, with the drawdown and everything, they're basically just trying to stick with, war fighting efforts. But they did say, though, and they've been telling me this for years, Mark, we're shipping pizzas because of you. So the 4th of July, they're getting pizza. It's just not my pizza right now. But they're making sure today that they got some.
But guys and women are getting the pizza that we want.
All the way out. They put it on the big ships that took it, you know, takes it out there. And then it's distributed, and they said, Mark, don't worry about your efforts. We'll get it taken care of. So we're blessed with that. But our other mission is a slice of home at home. Operation Homefront, America. The troops are coming back, and they're in the VAs. We've been doing this for a while, though. VAs are calling us now. We're like the hot item now, I guess. They're like, hey,
sure,
we could use some pizzas. And I go, well, where do you get your pizza? And they go, Joey's Pizza down the street. Okay, we'll buy Joey's Pizza. We call Joey and we say, hey, what's it going to take? You know, we try to be very frugal. You know, we just don't throw money around like crazy. And we feed the troops that are coming back, that are in the VAs, trying to get back on their feet, you know?
And the thought behind this, and back in 2008, when you think of this, troops who are in war zones, they're eating MREs, they're not getting... So to right. them, what have you heard? What kind of feedback have you heard from the service personnel? To get a piece of pizza in the middle of a war zone has got to just be a moment of bliss in a world that is...
God, it's gigantic. Guys tell me, oh, my God, I had your pizza. Oh, my God. I had this highly decorated guy. He said, you know, we got your pizzas. They airdropped them in. We all grabbed one and went to our own little corners. And he said, honestly, I was crying in front of my men, and they were crying.
I can't imagine it.
Oh, my God. You know, the average combat veteran's 20 and a half years old. And the highest generals, when I started it with General Petraeus, he said, this is perfect. I actually, when we came up with the idea, I said to my son, he says, because I met presidents today, he goes, should we tell George Bush we want to do this? I go, I don't think George is going to call me about pizza. I said, George Jr., you know. So I said, you know, we'll contact Petraeus, because I've worked for generals and stuff. So my wife comes home and she says, you're nuts, you know, and she takes me out of the room and gives me a tongue lashing. She goes, you know, you're going to disappoint him. Why would you tell him you're going to? I go, because we're going to do it. So.
And how did you do it the first time? What was it like to get that first shipment of pizzas overseas, and where did they go?
Well, I contacted my buddy at the NSA. His code name is whatever. He says, you know, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to have FBI guys at your house. I go, just give me Petraeus' email. I emailed Petraeus. He answered in 12 hours.
Oh, wow.
It said, hey, I told him I was going to ship Lou Malnati's. Guess what his favorite pizza is?
Ah, that'll help.
He loves it. Every time I didn't know that. Every time he comes to Chicago, he eats Lou Malnati.
Very nice. So that helped grease the wheels that you were offering him his favorite pizza.
You're right. It greases the wheels. He's like, oh, my God, you can get us loose? So I called Mark Malnati, and he says, yeah, I'll help you out. So we shipped 2,000 the first time and eight slices of a Lou.
Yep.
That's times 2, 8. That's 16,000 slices of pizza.
Not bad.
It's quite a bit, yeah.
Not bad. And where did that first shipment go?
It went to Camp Victory in Iraq. I was supposed to be there. It's the most crazy story. My daughter graduated the Air Force Academy.
Oh, congratulations.
Joe Biden was there, and he gave a speech. He says, my son is in Iraq right now. So I gave the Secret Service guys my card and said, hey, I'm shipping 2,000 pizzas. Make sure Joe's kid gets pizza, you know? And they're like, all right, we'll make sure he gets it. I go, don't. I'm telling you who I work with. You got to tell him. So I get an invitation to fly to Iraq and eat pizza with soldiers, with Joe Biden and General Petraeus.
Not bad.
And I flew into Kuwait and then over to Bahrain. It's an island in the Middle East, and an Ali hit. An Ali is like it's a sandstorm, but it's like a winter storm.
Oh,
it completely covers islands. You should look at Ali's. So I got stuck on an island in the Persian Gulf at the Royal Family's Hotel of Bahrain called the Mogan Tooth.
Wow.
I was with the royal family for 10 days eating a lot and just having fun with them. I could not get to the island, and they ate all my pizzas.
And I'm sure they were happy about it. Now, the ones that get shipped over, were they frozen? How do you ship the logistics? I can't imagine the logistics of getting that many pizzas over to
DHL.
The Middle East.
You know, DHL said we could do this. You know, they ship race cars and stuff. I got to give them accolades. And, you know, Lou Malnati's, they ship pizzas around the nation.
Sure.
So they know how much dry ice will last for how long and how long is the trip. And so we set it up for the pizzas to get in the Persian Gulf within 24 hours. Then they were re-dry iced. Do you imagine they'd open every box and pull the dry ice out and put new stuff in?
That's amazing. It is amazing.
We did 30,000 pizzas. We have the Guinness Book World Record, biggest pizza party and delivery. We're a recipient of that. We shipped 30,000 pizzas on dry ice, and they had to be re-dry iced. Oh my! It's staggering. I can't even. I pinch myself. I'm like, we did that?
Yeah, and you keep doing it, and now you're turning your efforts to the home, as you said, VA with the Operation Homefront.
Yes, sir.
If people want to get involved, because, you know, we hear a lot of people say support the troops, and a lot of people do it in different ways. But if you want to make an impression, because, yeah, eating the pizza may only take a minute, but the memory for that service person to go, wow, somebody remembered me. They sent me a piece of pizza.
Right. What does it take you to order a pizza? About 30 seconds?
Yep, exactly.
You call up, boom. You can go to our website for more information, and you can go on there and just say, you know, I'll give you $10. Give me a nickel. You know what? We'll get by with it. Just be part and say, oh, my God, there's some kid with a smile on his face. Your average combat veteran is 20 and a half years old.
And what's that website?
High school. It's pizzas4patriots.com.
Pizzas4patriots.com.
The number four, and we're calling this Operation Homefront America, because we're concentrating our efforts here, but the window is always open to get pizzas. You know, the way it's looking, we might be going back out there.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but then we'll start shipping them pizzas again.
All right. Well, listen, it's a great message all year long, but especially when Thank 4th of July, it. Memorial Day, those kind of days when
oh,
people are more
God.
More in that mindset. So I'm glad we
you
were
know,
able to
Fred,
get you
I woke up today. I woke up today, and I was drinking my coffee, and I'm like, oh, it's going to be a great day, good food, you know, and celebration and fireworks. And I'm like, what else is going on? All of a sudden, the cold air went down my back. I'm like, oh, the pizzas aren't being delivered. Oh, my God. Around the nation.
Yeah.
Our goal was one VA in every state, and we've achieved that. Our goal is to do every VA in every state, which is about 200. So
wow.
We'll get there, though.
On your way. That's a good start. And as you've proven before, Master Sergeant, you can get it done. So Operation Homefront.
I don't know. Please, everybody pray for me. I need prayers.
Well, you need prayers, and you need some money. So we want people to go to pizzas4patriots.com.
Thank you, sir. You take care.
You're very welcome. Thanks
for
taking some time today. You're very welcome, Mark, and we will talk again, I'm sure.
Appreciate that, Brian.
Take care. That's Sergeant Mark Evans, Pizzas for Patriots, the number four, and get pizzas not only to the troops overseas, but to the people who are in the VAs. That's the goal today. 60 VAs getting pizza deliveries. So go to the website, order a pizza, help them out. Cody, you know what time it is. Time for the you got to have that music. Wow.
I love this.
He's a slow learner.
A little slow, but that's okay. There's going to be a payoff.
There we go.
That's right. That's it.
We're going to do it in another half hour, Cody. So be ready. Because I'll say, you know what? We got to go to the danger zone. Permission to buzz the tower. Because Jim Ryan has the traffic trouble spots. Okay. I know the song. I love the song. I'm not quite sure how patriotic it is.
This is as American as it gets, Ryan. Nothing is more American.
Really? Nothing is more
than
American?
The greatest hair metal band of all time.
Yeah,
rock and roll gods.
I know, but there's hair metal bands from other countries.
Yeah, this but they're not Guns N' Roses.
They're not Guns N' Roses.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen. This is what happens when I entrust the patriotic bump music to other people. But it's my own fault. I learn. Just know that in about another 25 minutes, we're going to need Danger Zone. So get that queued up again. Get that all ready to go. After the 5 o'clock news, this is a rare occurrence. We are opening up the afternoon arcade. Yes, we've brought it from the overnights. Every once in a while, it will come out during daylight hours, and today is no different. We are going to have the afternoon arcade. It's American history trivia today. Yes. We'll tell you how you can get involved and how you can play and how you can win some valuable prizes. Parents in Denver very upset. I don't know if you saw this story. Some Cub Scouts were at a little gathering. It's a district day camp. Parents come to pick them up. These are the 7-year-old Cub Scouts. Was your son a Cub Scout, Veronica? Was he in scouting at all? I always get Veronica when she's doing something else.
No, that's right. He would be a Cub Scout if they offered guitar playing.
Oh, okay. There's not a... Is there a Boy Scout merit badge for guitar playing?
I don't know.
But you got to get through Cub Scouts first.
That's all he wants to do. So.
Well, listen, that's fine. I think that's great. If you commit to something, whether it's Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, guitar, as long as the kid has something to do, he's not sitting around.
I don't mind because he skips other things that could get him in trouble.
Right.
So he could stay home and play guitar.
Nice. That's the kind of dedication you hope for.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a Cub Scout, Kevin? Any scouting?
I was. I was a Boy Scout until, I don't know how old I was, maybe 12 or so.
To make it tenderfoot, what'd you make it up to? Eagle?
No, not even close.
I don't even know.
I think I did it for 2 years, and then I didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
And gave up.
That was pretty much me. I went through Cub Scouts and then Boy Scouts for 2 years, and then it was done.
Yeah, the only thing I really took away from it is how to fold an American flag properly.
I can do that, and I can still tie a square knot. Those are the two things.
I cannot, but... Thanks to the Boy Scouts, I can fold an American flag. I'm pretty proud of that, Brian.
There you go. Listen, we all have to take skills away, and I took that skill away as well. Cody, I don't picture you as a scout.
Oh, come on. No.
Of course not.
No, I learned to tie knots in my late 20s, but that was for a different reason.
All right, we'll leave it there. And Danger Zone, Maverick, yes. Were you a scout?
I was not. I think Cody and I spent the majority of our youth just kind of hanging out listening to Guns N' Roses and Kenny Loggins, apparently.
Wow, that's...
Misspent what's going on there?
Watching wrestling?
Watching wrestling and listening to Guns N' Roses. Well, listen, everybody's got their thing. All right, 1 minute. Here's why the parents of these Cub Scouts were upset. Because Hooters girls were running the Boy Scout camp. The parents say it isn't the attire that irritated them. The women were wearing shorts and fitted T-shirts. You know the Hooters uniform. But that Hooters doesn't fit in the philosophy of the Scouts. Oh, I disagree. What pack of adolescent boys doesn't want to be surrounded by Hooters girls?
And chicken wings.
Exactly. They're perfect for the Scouts. Boy Scouts of America Denver Area Council say the restaurant chain has approached the organization about working with the Scouts. Hooters Colorado had posted photos of the boys holding their craft projects and posing with employees. You know my son, the Bear Scout, and Tiffany, his Hooters waitress? Oh, I don't see why the parents would be upset.
Tiffany serves up a great wing, by the way.
She does, and she doesn't give the overly flirty move, which I detest at the Hooters restaurants. Yes, I know, you're very attractive. I just want to eat. All right, let's do this, and then we'll tell you how you can play the Afternoon Arcade on WGN. You've got it. Well, John Philip Sousa, that's patriotic. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. I'm Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna this week. I will be here, all this week. That's what this week means, isn't it? Sure. You know why I'm a little discombobulated? Because I'm all excited. Yes, because it's time. We've never done this in the afternoon show before. We've done it in different times, mostly overnight. But it's time for the Afternoon Arcade.
It's a new game, only this time the game is real. Can you handle it?
Everybody play the game.
Time to play the game.
Yes, yes, yes. It is the theme song for America's favorite radio game show. It's the Afternoon Arcade, formerly the Overnight Arcade, then sometimes the Sunday Night Arcade, and every once in a while, whatever arcade we decide to do. But today, because it is the 4th of July, we are doing American History Trivia on the Overnight Arcade. If you didn't get through to play along with us on the air, then by all means, light a firework, run for your life, and play along at home, because during the Afternoon Arcade, gambling not only encouraged, but expected. It's very exciting. I am your charming and delightful host, Brian Noonan. With me, as always, Cody in the booth. He's answering the phones. He's doing things. And today, special scorekeeper from the sports department. You know what kind of thinking it is when I bring in a new scorekeeper? I forget the adjective now because I've had a lot of things to talk about. It's inventive. No.
Innovative.
Innovative. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jim. Kevin Powell is going to be keeping score today.
I'm honored. Thank
Innovative.
You, Brian.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's good to have you along. Mm-hmm. Let's meet our players, shall we? They're the heart and soul of any arcade. Don is in Buffalo Grove. Hi, Don. Welcome to the game.
Hi.
And what do you do, Don?
I'm a real estate broker.
A real estate broker. How's the market these days?
A lot better than a few months ago.
Well, that's always good. Always good to... is it the single family? Is it pre-existing, new construction? Where's the biggest growth?
mostly single families.
Single family, very good. All right, and let's see who you're playing against, Don. It is Jill, and she is in Palatine. Hi, Jill.
Hello, Brian.
And what do you do, Jill?
Brian, I'm in lighting sales.
You are in lighting sales. Lamps, chandeliers, etc.?
I do outdoor lighting.
Outdoor? Ooh, I like outdoor lighting. I'm a big fan of exterior illumination. Are these security lights, or are these decorative, or both?
Decorative that can be used for security if needed.
Oh, I like that. I like, now, tell me what that means. So it's like a Malibu light that'll shoot somebody? How does this work?
Decorative light, but a lot of people will light up the outside of their house for security on timers and that kind of thing, especially if you're in heavily wooded areas.
Sure, because if you're living in a compound, you want to see if somebody's creeping up at you.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that makes that's lighting sales. It's very exciting. All right. Well, Don, Jill, here's how it's going to work. I've got some American history questions. You guys big on American history?
Sure.
That is exactly the kind of enthusiasm I'm looking for, Don. So I'm going to ask you a question. If you get it right, hey, you get a point. If not, your opponent will get a chance to steal. The person who is leading when time runs out will be our winner. Don, Jill, do you understand the rules? Are you ready to play our game?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
All right. Well, then here we go. First question will go to Jill. Jill. In what city? Oh, we're going to start out easy. In what city was the Declaration of Independence signed?
Boston.
Boston.
No!
I guess it's not that easy. That is incorrect, Joe. Yeah, Don, that means you get a chance to steal. Wow, why are they? They're just running crazy, Cody. All my bad sound effects are just going and going. I don't know what's going on. Technical difficulties. All right, Don, you get a chance to steal. In what city was the Declaration of Independence signed?
That would be Philadelphia.
That would indeed be Philadelphia. All right. Jill is talking to somebody, maybe another lighting salesperson, trying to find out where the Declaration of Independence was signed. Don told us it was Philadelphia. All right, Don, we stay with you in the last question of round one. We're going to give you a multiple-choice question. Who was the 16th president of the United States? Millard Fillmore, James Garfield, Abraham Lincoln, or Harry Truman?
Lincoln.
That is correct. It is Abraham Lincoln. Kevin, that's the end of round one. Do you have a score for us?
Don, the early lead, up 2-0 on Jill.
All right, very good.
Kevin Powell, WGN Sports.
I like that Kevin's got to get the plug in every time. It's all branding, Cody. You know that. The millennials love to brand
things. He's filing the reports properly.
You are filing the perfect report. Let's go back to Jill. Now, Jill, I got to tell you, I thought the first question was right up your alley. Turns out not to be. Let's see how you can do with question number two.
All right.
All right. In 1849, gold was found in what state starting the gold rush?
California.
California. That is correct. Very good. Jill is on the board. Look at that. That's how we do it, Cody. People get on the board. We go back to Don. Don, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Very nice. Don, during what war was the Star-Spangled Banner written? During what war was the Star-Spangled Banner written?
The War of 1812.
The War of 1812. Cody shrugs.
Awesome!
That is correct, Don. Very nicely done. We end another round, Kevin.
After the second round, Don leads 3-1. Kevin Paul, WGN Sports.
Very good. All right. It just keeps going. All right, 3-1. Don, you have a commanding lead. Time is ticking down. Jill, we're back to you. Are you feeling confident, Jill?
I feel confident.
Have you had a couple cocktails on the 4th of July?
I have.
All right. Well, listen, that's always a good... I encourage that. I encourage drinking before playing the arcade. But that's just me, and I'm the host, so I don't have to actually answer the questions because I have the answers in front of me. Who said, give me liberty or give me death? Was it Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Patrick Henry, or Patrick Swayze? Who
Patrick
said,
Henry.
Give me liberty... I'm sorry, your answer?
Patrick Henry.
Patrick Henry. Sure you don't want to go with Patrick Swayze? You are correct. That's a good choice. Always good to not go with Patrick Swayze for an American history question. All right. We come back to Don. Don, you have 3 points. Let's see if you can add to that total. During World War I, Don, the U.S. was part of which group? The Central Powers, the Allied Powers, the Alliance for Defeat of Germany, or Wilson's Warriors?
Allied Powers.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
People very excited about that. Good job, Don. Kevin, you know what that means.
Don 4, Jill 2. Kevin Pollard will be dismissed.
I'm sensing that the branding is falling off a little bit.
All right, I'll sharpen it up.
No, listen, it was up to you how you want
to
do it.
Just speed it up.
Why? We got somewhere to be?
Okay.
I'm here till 7.
All right, I'll deliver them crisp and clean.
No, however, you can feel free to elaborate if you'd like. Take your time. We got nowhere to be. Don's got nowhere. Jill's got nowhere to go. She's probably still enjoying the cocktail, Jill?
I am.
All right, so yeah, Jill's had nowhere to go.
All right.
Don sounds like he may be pressed for time. But the rest of us, we're good. All right, so where are we? Oh, we come back to Jill. Jill, which of these countries was not one of the Axis powers during World War II? Which of these countries was not one of the Axis powers during World War II? Germany, Poland, Italy, or Japan?
I'm going to say Italy.
You're going to say Italy. I'm going to say... Because our bad sound effects are... Dough, there we go. Dough, it is incorrect. That means we come back to Don. Don, I know you're chomping at the bit to answer this one. Which one of these countries was not one of the Axis powers during World War II for the steel? Germany, Poland, Italy, or Japan?
That would be Poland.
That would be Poland.
Good job! Keep up the good work!
That is absolutely right. Ooh, and there's the horn. That means our time is up. Kevin, can you give us a final score?
Don with a dominating 5-2 win over Jill. Wait, is that the whole match, Brian?
That's it. We're done.
No,
yeah,
Don,
that's the horn.
One. Kevin Paul live from the 7th floor in Tribute Tower, WGN Sports.
Don, congratulations on the big win. Jill, nicely played. Everybody did well. Let's be honest. Don, do you want to know what you've won?
Sure.
Because, of course, you've won prizes. On my show, we're going to give you some prizes. You have won two prizes, Don. What do you think of that? A pair of tickets to My Son the Waiter, A Jewish Tragedy, playing July 7th through August 7th at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts. It's 90 minutes of nonstop laughter about the story of one man's lengthy struggle to make it as an actor in New York. You can get tickets by phone at 847-673-6300 or online at northshorecenter.org. But Don, you don't have to buy tickets because we're giving you a pair. We're also going to send you a gift certificate for $25 to Pequod's Pizza, featuring world-famous pizza with the signature caramelized cheese crust. It is fantastic. Visit them in Chicago on Clybourne Avenue and Morton Grove or online at pequodspizza.com. So there you go, Don.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Happy 4th of July, and enjoy your prizes. Congratulations. Now, Jill, I know you're thinking, Brian, did you forget about me? Do I not get anything because I only got 2 points? No, Jill, everybody's a winner here on the big show. We're going to send you a Pequod's gift card as well.
Sounds great.
All right. Well, listen, have a great 4th of July. Thanks for playing the game. Hold on, Cody will get all your information. That's how we do it. Now, oh, man. That's right. We go.
I love it. This is great.
We go to the tower. Everybody's got branding today. Everybody's got a signature bit. All right, it's time to check the traffic trouble spots with Jim Ryan.
Watching an accident.
Oh, Jim, hold on. I would be remiss if I did not tell people that this traffic report is sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Hey, Illinois drivers, always be alert when driving in work zones. Remember, when you see orange signs, look out for unexpected. See orange, slow down, save lives. Together, we can make zero fatalities a reality. Jim, now you talk.
American Dream.
Who is this? Is this the new theme song? Is this another wrestling theme?
Heck yeah. American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
I know who Dusty Rhodes is. This was his theme song, really?
Oh, yeah.
Right now, everybody is in their car going, oh, yeah, I knew that. Or they're hitting their heads off the steering wheel, pretending it's a turnbuckle out of frustration as they're sitting on the highway. As we've heard from the Danger Zone, the roads are not good today.
They're not great. I mean, they could be worse.
Could they?
What happened? I drove in and drove me about a 30 to 40 minute commute in about 20 minutes today earlier. I'm with you, Kevin.
I got in here in no time.
Yeah, the area expressways aren't too bad. It's the Dan Ryan's bad now since the end of the game. Lakeshore Drive is bad. And then coming back from Wisconsin.
Those tollways, Wisconsin and Michigan. Well, let's be honest. I've lived here my whole life, except for a short stint in California. There has never been a summer where taking 80 through Indiana into Michigan has not, or 94, has not been a nightmare. I don't care my entire life, and I've been on this planet low these 27 years. I cannot remember a time when there wasn't a horrible nightmare trying to get to Michigan.
But it just seems like it's always under construction, too. Like it's just never ending there.
Do you think, and this is my, and Veronica, I think you're well-versed in Indiana politics. Do you think, I've always had the theory that it's Indiana's way of saying screw you to Illinois, that every summer they put 94 under construction all the way through to Michigan. I think it's just the big orange cone middle finger that Indiana is throwing up at us.
I think that either state really likes each other very much, no matter how much the plastic smiles put on.
Right.
There's no liking there.
You know, it's kind of that younger sibling rivalry. Mm, Indiana's fine. We're a fine place. I lived in Indiana for a while, but it's still the younger sibling to Illinois.
And, you know, it's not just these two states. I mean, as soon as I moved to Indiana, everybody was making fun of Kentucky.
Well.
I mean, I think the whole world makes fun of Kentucky.
Really? Is that a stretch? We're going to make fun of Kentucky? What's next? North Carolina or South Carolina, really? West Virginia? Sure, we'll make fun of them all. Everybody but us. And even though, yes, I know we're the state with the most corruption and one of the worst financial situations ever, but we can still make, if we can't make fun of another state, we've lost everything.
I'll tell you what, though, if you talk to Indiana people, they say, take away Chicago from Illinois, and what do they have?
A lot of
what do they have
beautiful
more than
farm,
we do?
A lot of agriculture.
Yep.
But beautiful rolling hills in southern Illinois.
But the two would be very,
very similar.
Comparable.
Yes, they'd be almost identical.
Mm-hmm.
But then we'd still have to deduct for Gary. Wouldn't we?
That is true.
Don't we still have to? Don't they still lose a couple points?
Yep.
Yes, they earn a little of it back because that's where the Jacksons came from. All right, I'll give them. We don't take the full deduction for Gary, but still. All right, if we're going to throw that, if they're going to throw down that gauntlet, they have to remember. Have to remember what's happening. All right, I do more than just this. No, I don't really. But I know I was trying to segue, Cody, to our guest after the news, who has a very successful podcast that I appeared on when I was in L.A., and we'll talk a little bit about that and get to so much more here on WGN. Okay.
Cue the patriotic music.
Man, you know what?
I don't want excuses.
I was betting 1,000 for 2.5 hours, and I'm sorry, man. I just forgot that music was a thing.
Wow.
We could sing together.
That was that was disappointing.
Cody, you know, even I'm not perfect. You'd be surprised. Wow. You'd be shocked.
Kevin, you're here normally during the week. Would that fly? Be honest.
No comment.
All right.
Wow. Well, sometimes there's technical difficulties.
Sure.
Cody's not used to producing in this time slot. It's a little different.
It's a high pressure environment.
The way the light's coming through the windows, sure, it just throws everything off at this time.
Well, no, we come in at 6 o'clock on Sundays. It's light out still.
Well, it's 5:30. Things are just a little bit off.
It's a little bit off.
Cody, I do have a request, though. Are you saving maybe the most patriotic wrestling theme song of all time?
Oh, you know it. You know it. And
that was the one he was going to play now.
Okay.
But he took a nap, I guess, during the show.
It's literally actually queued up for the next break.
Right.
So
I normally take a nap during the show at this time too, Cody. So that's
I do too. Yeah. But I'm glad somebody's still awake. It's the Rokon Show with Anna DeVellantes and Ro, probably very excited that they've left their show in our hands for the day and the rest of the week. I can only imagine how happy they are to be on vacation. They're probably not. If I was on vacation, I wouldn't be listening either. All right. But first, before we get to our guest, the Indiana Defenders are popping up. And I'm glad. If you live in Indiana, you should want to defend your state. We were talking about how my theory is that Indiana flips the big orange cone finger at Illinois every year, and that's why 94 is constantly under construction as you try to get to Michigan. And then 65, a lot of construction, the Skyway, everything. They just, they're toying with us in Indiana every summer, and I think there's a little sibling rivalry from the 618, which is an Illinois area code. Illinois is a laughingstock of the U.S. Don't make fun of Indiana. And then I mentioned, you know, because Veronica brought up a valid point that people in Indiana say, well, if you take Chicago away from Illinois, what's it got? The states are kind of similar. And I made the case that, well, you still have to deduct for Gary. And one of the texters rightly pointed out. So Indiana takes the hit for Gary. Agreed. But Illinois without Chicago has to take the hit for, oh, and it just jumped, has to take the hit for Posen, Dixmoor, Calumet City, Harvey, Riverdale, South Holland, Phoenix, ..
I was waiting for Rockford there.
Rockford is one of the most dangerous cities in America. We'll take the hit for Rockford, too. And I used to live in Cal City. I'll definitely take the hit for Cal City. All right, touche. You got us. There's, oh, my goodness. Okay. I don't know. We will see. All right, listen. When I was, I went to California. I took a road trip with my daughter to take her out for a summer internship. And I got to see some friends of mine, many of whom are hosts of very popular podcasts. And I was honored to be asked to be on a couple of them. One of them, the Rock Solid Podcast, because, you know, if you've listened to my show for any amount of time, I am nothing if not down with rock and roll. Right, Cody? I am all about the music constantly. Unless it's bump music that you're supposed to play, then I'm not about any of it. Would that be an accurate...
So accurate, Brian.
Accurate statement. So the host of the Rock Solid Podcast, which you can find on iTunes and everywhere else, is Pat Francis. He joins us now. Hi, Pat.
Hey, happy 4th of July, everybody.
And to you, how are things in sunny Southern California?
It's very nice here, but I understand you have a low of 69 there.
Well, it's breezy here and it's overcast, but listen, we had a gorgeous weekend, so we'll, you lived here for a while. You know how it is. We'll take the hit when we have to.
That's true.
We'll just move on.
So, a little bit of congestion on the Dan Ryan.
Is there ever not congestion on the Dan Ryan? Listen, you're in California. You can't make fun of any traffic here. You've got every side street, every freeway is constantly under construction and congested. It doesn't matter what time of day or night, you're going to be sitting in traffic in Los Angeles.
It is hard to get anywhere. I could barely make it from the kitchen to my office to take this call.
Well, listen, I'm glad you left early and you packed a lunch and you know.
I took surface roads.
Did you? Look, yes. To go on the Caltrans website, did you get everything set up?
I used Waze.
What was that? I love that app. The Waze app, and I'm not a stockholder. I have no skin in the race, no horse in the race, no skin in the game. I'm going to mix up my analogies, but I love Waze. It always gets me where I need to be.
Well, is that their slogan? Because if not, you need to call them on Tuesday.
Listen, they've heard it here on the on WGN. I trademark everything that comes out of my mouth, Cody. That's why Cody can't play the bump music. He's busy filing trademark requests for everything that I say. All right, so tell us about the Rock Solid Podcast, because people like to rock.
People, this is the podcast for people that like to rock and roll all night and party once a week.
Ah, for the older set.
Yeah, for the older set. No, it's a comedy music podcast. We play new music, we play classic music. I have a group of four rotating co-hosts. And, you know, every week we have a topic. It could be we could discuss a single band or, for example, the episode that's up this week is with my co-host from Chicago, comedian Mike Siegel. And we do a thing called Title Fight.
Ooh.
Where we take two songs that have the same title, but they're by different artists and they're totally different songs.
Okay. Give me an example.
I'll give you an example right now, Brian, if you want me to. Let me look up an example sure, to give you, and that's what I'll do.
Well, you brought it up. I figured you'd have one ready.
We did Dirty Work from the Rolling Stones, faced off against Dirty Work from Steely Dan.
Oh. I like both those songs.
Steely Dan handed the Rolling Stones.
Really? Steely Dan wins.
Yeah. Steely Dan won, for sure.
Now, you've been doing this for how long?
In 2 weeks, we will start our sixth year.
Wow. Now, see, it's always amazing to me, and I know there's, Cody has a podcast, not on, that's on WGN Plus, but he had it for years, and you've had yours for almost 6 years. How does one get found in a, because it seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, everybody has a podcast.
My cat has a podcast.
I've listened to it. It's very good. It's one of the few podcasts I subscribe to.
I'm lucky enough that I was associated. I have an association with the Never Not Funny podcast hosted by Jimmy Pardo and Matt Belknap. That's a very popular podcast.
Right.
And so initially, all my listeners probably came directly from that podcast. Now, since then, you know, I have people from all over the world that email me that they listen. I don't know how that happens.
Okay, because that's always
really
it's always baffled me. And you guys have a large following on the Rock Solid podcast, and
we do.
I'm always like, it always amazes me when people can find it. Not yours, but just any.
Yeah, I mean it's on iTunes. It's on a site called Art19. There's many places to find it, but when people do find it, you know, I'll get an email that says, "I'm a new listener from New Zealand. I'm burning through all the episodes," and I'm just like, "Wow, I don't even get it."
That's crazy.
When I post each episode, I do add a lot of tags. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like artists that are on, or you know, I tag it a lot. So I guess if someone's like, "Hey, I wonder if anyone ever did a podcast about the Cars," oh, here's one. I mean, that's the
very
only thing
smart.
I can think. Maybe there's tags work.
All right. Well, listen, it's something because the content is very good, but content alone isn't what gets people to listen in such a crowded market. At Rock Solid Podcast is your Twitter handle. Very active on Twitter is the Rock Solid Podcast. But let's cut through all the generalities and get to the specifics, because this week on July 7th, you're posting what I can only consider to be one of the highlight episodes. And I say that only because I am on it.
You are on it. I list you as a guest co-host.
Is that right?
Comedian Brian Noonan.
Wow. Thank you very much. And we are profiling a band that I had the pleasure of watching again on Saturday, REO Speedwagon.
That's right. The episode will be called REO Podwagon.
I like it.
I really only use the actual name if the people are actually on the episode.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like if when John Waite was on the episode, I called it John Waite.
Sure.
When Melissa Etheridge was on, we called it Melissa Etheridge.
You had Sammy Hagar on as well. How do you get these big recording artists to come on the podcast? Bribery?
Well, I mean, the more people that do it, it just opens up the door. You know, when I ask someone to do it, then their publicist or manager will go, "Oh, well, if all these people did it, well then, yeah, sure, our guy would do it. It must be fine. Must be okay."
Yeah, yeah, and you're not doing it. You know. You're not doing it in an alley. You've got a nice studio, the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm very professional about it with all my emails and everything, and you know, we were just lucky enough early on that some big name people agreed to do it, and yeah, so I will reach out to almost anyone because a no doesn't scare me.
Yeah, you reached out to me. That had to take some guts.
Yeah, I had to reach out 3 or 4 times, and finally your people came around.
Well, you see how Cody is here. You think he's going to answer my emails in a timely manner? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So if people, and I want people to download not only this episode, start with, if you're new to the Rock Solid Podcast, listen to this one. Because, well, I'm on it, and it's REO Podwagon. And then you can go back and listen to all of them and listen to future ones. But so people, they hear, oh, it's comedy and music. How does that work? Are they making jokes about REO? Are they are we doing?
It's really first and foremost a music podcast.
Right.
But and we don't do any bits that we've, you know, pre-planned or anything. The comedy just comes out of our natural conversation. You know, or, you know, let's say you told me a story about the first time you saw REO Speedwagon. You know, it's very natural. You know, the comedy's very natural.
It was, it was a lot of fun to do. It was stressful because I came in with as much prep as I do coming in for a show here. I had notes and all sorts of things because while I love REO's music and have loved it for a long time, I didn't know all the minutiae. And I felt that we may had to, we delved into some minutia.
Yeah, and I always bring the minutia a little bit. So I'm always.
You're a huge music freak, for lack of a better term. Would that be accurate?
That is accurate. I mean, I don't play an instrument. I can't sing. but man, I love music. It's such a part of my life. Like every single day, there is some music being played somewhere in my head. You know.
Yeah. Well, it was.
And I'll actually play music too.
And so we talk about the band. We play songs from the band. I was able to drop a couple fat nuggets the other night as I sat on the hill at the watching REO. People were like, "How do you know all that?" I go, "Well, you know, I'm a bit of an REO expert."
Yeah, impression. You impressed your lady, I'm sure.
Oh, my lady, my friends, everybody was impressed. Not as impressive. Listen, REO did a fine job impressing everybody at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater the other night by themselves. They didn't need my help. Brought it.
Were they on a package tour, or is it just REO speaking?
No, it's Tesla, REO, and Def Leppard. Def Leppard closing things out.
Did you stick around for all three bands?
Well, Tesla opened, and I was there from start to finish. I got in second song at Tesla because it took.
Okay,
there was a nightmare at the security, but that's a different story.
Well, that's a nice triple bill. That's a triple shot of rock, is what I would call it.
It was a lot of classic rock, a lot of black T-shirts, a lot of marijuana smoke. It was fun.
I just worked on a show that's on ABC. It's called Greatest Hits. And REO Speedwagon was on our debut episode last Thursday.
Yes, the show did very well, from what I understand.
It did. That the only thing that means for me is hopefully we'll get picked up again, and I'll get to work on it.
Get to work again. Well, listen, everybody needs to go to iTunes and download the Rock Solid podcast with Pat Francis. Just Rock Solid. I say the because I'm an idiot. It's Rock Solid with Pat Francis, Rock Solid the podcast. At Rock Solid Podcast on Twitter, you can follow all their shenanigans. I know they just tweeted something about Pat being on here. So it's a lot of fun. And this week's episode, of course, which we'll post on the 7th, is the REO, what'd you call it, REO Podcast? REO Podcast?
Oh, REO Podwagon.
REO Podwagon with yours truly. Pat, it was a lot of fun to do the podcast. Congratulations on 6 years with Rock Solid. Continued success. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Brian. You're the best.
I'm one of the best. Thank you, Pat. Take care. Bye-bye. I mean, I'm not the best, but I'm one of the best. Hey, you know what time it is?
It's 5:50.
Yeah, it was time for... Wow.
I knew what time it was.
Everybody knew what time it was. Everybody. It is... Yeah. It's time to go... Yeah. Time to go to the danger zone.
Sorry, I was in here thinking about my podcast that you've not appeared on.
Yeah. I'm thinking about my radio show that you're not appearing on. unfortunately, when you should be. Jim Ryan has the traffic trouble spots. I should know this, right? I know Jim knows this. He's nodding. Oh, this is this Ric Flair? No, Hulk Hogan. This is Hulk Hogan.
Duh.
I took my vitamins today. I said my prayers. I'm a Hulkamaniac. I'm not ripping this shirt, though. That's not happening.
Oh, I was just listening to the whole thing. Such a jam.
Rick Derringer.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
We can let it. I don't know. What legally, we can't listen to the whole thing, can we? Even if I'm talking over it?
We'll be fine.
Wait, listen. Wow. Kevin playing fast and loose with the license and all the money. Tomorrow I come in and they go, listen, we were going to have you in for Rowan Anna again today, but you cost us $87,000 yesterday with that Hulk Hogan theme song.
Hulk Hogan
debacle.
Would never sue anyone, would he?
No. Hulk. Well, I will say this. If he does sue, he's used to not getting paid. Because Gawker doesn't have the money to pay him. So
how much did he get out of that?
How many? Cody, you know, more than millions. Millions and millions. Was it 100 million?
That's
a ton. Hold on. There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
It was over 100 million.
Over 100 million. And Gawker said, we don't have 100 million. You know what Gawker ought to do? They ought to play the Mega Millions tomorrow.
140 million.
He won 140 million?
He won 140 million.
I wonder how much of that he'll ever see. Because even you got to figure his lawyer, even if they had the 140, his lawyers are getting a third? A half?
It doesn't matter. It wasn't even financed by him.
The lawsuit? Yeah.
The lawsuit was financed by the old guy. The old, not Nick Denton.
Dusty Rhodes?
No. You heard
Peter
this?
Thiel.
Peter Thiel, yeah. You heard the backstory of this, right?
Right.
Right.
All right.
So there you go.
There you go. Mega Millions tomorrow, $449 million. I'd let somebody sue me if I had that kind of. No, I wouldn't. Why would I want to lose any of that money?
You know, I bought 5 Mega Millions tickets last week, and none of them won.
I won a dollar last week. Know what I did? I took that dollar. Some people say you roll it into more tickets. Nope. Took it cashed out. Took that dollar. Went wild. on the town. They were running, Mega Millions was running a special 2 weeks ago where if you bought like $3 worth of tickets, they gave you $3. It was insane. They were actually giving you free numbers. But they stopped that at the end of June, so middle of June. So now at $449 million tomorrow, the jackpot is the third highest in the game's history. Was last won on March 8th. Tuesday is tomorrow. As I said, tomorrow's a drawing. No ticket matched. All six numbers drawn Friday night. Biggest Mega Millions jackpot was in 2013, $648 million. I know we're not going to win. I know our odds are 1 in 258,890,850. I know that. But every time there's a jackpot this big, I allow myself a few moments to dream. Am I alone? Does everybody else have tickets?
Do you have your escape plan already and who you would contact first and where you would keep the ticket and all that stuff?
I have a pen ready to sign it. I have a place to put it. I have an accountant who I would call immediately. But I would call her after I had left the country.
Brian,
I have a go bag set. I'm like a fugitive.
We actually recorded an entire web exclusive podcast on WGNRadio.com and talked about what we would do with our winnings around the time.
It was a Powerball.
The Powerball was over a billion. Brian and I, we can find that at WGNRadio.com.
Yeah, because on the Sunday show, we do a web exclusive podcast afterwards.
I even have code words ready for my mother.
Do you? You're just going to say the word, she'll know you're a winner,
yep.
And then.
Yep. Because that way we don't have to talk over cell phones where you could be,
right.
You know, spied on by the government, black helicopter circling.
I love that we're all kind of conspiracy theorists when it comes to our lottery winnings, that the man is going to be watching us, the eye in the sky. All right, we've got to do this. That beep tells me I am late. So let's do this, that it's news time on WGN. The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlante. It's Brian Noonan for Ro and Anna this week. You're not doing anything to get yourself back in my good graces.
It's a party in the USA.
I know what it is, Miley Cyrus.
That song is awesome. What is wrong with you?
Can we just have Hulk Hogan's theme again, please?
Look, I'm not a Miley Cyrus
and Kevin
fan.
Had your back earlier. Had your back on a number of your questionable choices.
Well, I see where Cody was coming from.
I
there,
do
from the producer angle. If somebody says USA in a song, it's appropriate to play on the 4th of July.
I got you. No, I understand.
Look at it this way, Brian. You're probably the only one playing these songs for 4th
yeah,
of July.
You know what, yeah, Veronica? Thank you, Veronica. I like that you've taken what could be perceived by some as a negative, not by everybody, but by some. Me.
Only here on WGN Radio, you get Miley Cyrus.
You go from the Hulk Hogan theme to Miley Cyrus. That's what makes this a wonderful, wonderful place.
I haven't even tapped into my video game music repertoire yet.
Yeah, let's hope that doesn't happen.
You know what I would call that, Cody?
Tell me.
Innovative.
Hold on, I'm writing that down. How do you spell that? Is that with two vatives?
I'll have to Google that. I'm not good with the spelling, right.
But it starts with an I. Sure. Innovative. Kevin, can I talk? Speaking of, and it has nothing to do with being innovative. It has all to do with being greed, I think. Kevin Durant, you've been reporting this all day, and this was if you're an NBA follower, and I'm only a cursory NBA follower, but I knew that the Kevin Durant situation, this has been anticipated for years. Everybody said, oh, next year Kevin Durant's going to become a free agent. Will he leave Oklahoma City, the team that made him a superstar, gave him a place?
Right. I think if Oklahoma City closes out Golden State in the semifinals when they had a 3-1 series lead and they go on and they do win the NBA Finals and Durant finally gets it and Westbrook and the organization finally, I don't think he leaves.
Yeah, so it's all. Now, do you believe this? Because this seems to be the talking point of any of these big deals, that I'm not leaving because I'm unhappy, I'm leaving because I want a ring. And it doesn't hurt that they're giving me a reported $54 million over 2 years, you know, which is more than I could have made in Oklahoma City, but it's about the rings. Do you buy that?
I do buy into that. I think he just wants to win. But he's getting killed on social media because it's the same thing when LeBron left for Miami. The thing I think that bugs some people, whether they're right or wrong on this, but I think the thought process is he's taking a shortcut.
Right.
I mean, you're joining a roster with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. This is the Golden State Warriors. They just won 73 games last season. Obviously, they lost in the finals, but it's a dominant team. Kevin Durant, but they got the ring 2 years ago. This year they came within a game of winning.
So they've been to two straight NBA finals with Durant on the team. I don't know how they don't go to the NBA finals next year. It would be a major letdown. But I think, of course, we're seeing the jersey burnings by Oklahoma City fans.
Here's the difference. You brought up LeBron. LeBron left a Cavaliers team that was awful. You know,
well,
Durant is leaving a team that has gotten
that's a good point.
I would say the last couple of years
Durant's roster at Oklahoma City was much better than what LeBron had to work with.
Of course,
that's a valid point. I would agree with that. And again, like you said, they've been to the Western Conference Finals four out of the last 6 years.
Right,
Durant's won an MVP there. If you know, again, just one game away from going back to the finals. This year, they won a few years ago and lost, but, you know, I think that's just the general thought process, is it does appear to be a shortcut rather than say, why don't you stay with an organization that drafted you that, you know, this is the other point. I don't know why fans would be trashing him. Kevin Durant basically built that organization
from nothing.
He was drafted as a Seattle Supersonic, and then they relocated to Oklahoma City, and he made that team who they were, and they've won a ton of games with him. But I don't think a lot of people thought he was going to stay in Oklahoma City because of that reason, because of his relationship with Russell Westbrook. They're very good friends. They're like brothers, according to them. So I think a lot of people just thought he would stay and finally try to get that ring for the organization and for himself. But now I think it was just see you later, Cole. I'm tired of this.
I got to go.
The same thing every year. Let's go and let's win right now.
Well, and he said, you know, I'm at a point, this is a quote from his statement, I'm at a point in my life where it is of equal importance to find an opportunity that encourages my evolution as a man, moving out of my comfort zone to a new city and community, which offers the greatest potential for my contribution and personal growth.
I mean, that's sort of where LeBron was coming from, too.
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron sort of said the same thing. A lot of people, whether it was true or not, LeBron, his time in Miami almost was like his college days that he never had.
Yeah, he had to go and mature a little bit.
He went from the competitive AAU youth basketball leagues right to a competitive high school and then right to the NBA to Cleveland with all that pressure on his shoulders from being in his hometown. So I think,
and having to carry a team, basically.
He really did. I mean, what LeBron's done with some really garbage teams throughout his career is unbelievable. So it's the same thing with Durant, though. I mean, you brought up the point that Durant has had much better rosters to work with, but to me, I was surprised. I was convinced he would be staying with Oklahoma City when I saw this morning he was heading out west to Golden State. I was a little
upset, and it's not because of the money. I mean, I don't begrudge any athlete making the money when they can, and the NBA now with its new deal for TV, right, their salary cap is really high. But what I look at this, and I read an interesting piece about this today, and it made sense to me. How are small market teams like Oklahoma going to compete against large market teams? Even with the increased salary cap, they can't afford to pay guys like Kevin Durant like this. So are we going to see an NBA where only, again, and it's kind of going back to what it used to be, where only a few big name cities can have really good teams and everybody else is just an also-ran? Whereas now you're seeing some small to mid-market teams who are able to make a run.
Yeah, and it's very complicated right now with what these contracts are looking like. It's Durant's 2 years, $54 million. That'll come with an opt-out for next year because the salary cap is going to go up again next season,
mm-hmm,
a lot. So he can opt out and re-sign with them for even a larger deal. That's another valid point. There are some things in place like the bird rights, and it can get sort of complicated, and I don't want to bore anybody, but there are some things in place that are supposed to help teams that do draft well and try to develop players. Sometimes they don't always work because sometimes players can just leave like this.
Right, just like this. Hey, I'm a free agent. See you later.
As much as because you brought up the point about money, Oklahoma City could have matched this deal. This was just purely a Kevin Durant decision.
He just wanted to go.
He wanted to go play with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. I don't know how they're going to lose a game next year.
We'll see.
Golden State was forced to basically to move Andrew Bogut for salary cap reasons and Harrison Barnes, who was a very important player.
Yeah, they were
them.
Big parts of the team.
Yes, but I think that the trade-off of losing those two for Kevin Durant is definitely
all right. Let's look then 4 years down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Does Kevin Durant pull a LeBron and come back to Oklahoma City? Because there doesn't seem to be, from an ownership perspective at Oklahoma City, the kind of vitriol that was thrown at LeBron from the Cavaliers ownership when he left. So
yeah, that was
there's not the acrimony.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. This was sort of, at least for now,
right.
We'll wait to see what happens on social media and things like that. For now, the Oklahoma City organization saying all the right things. You know, they thanked him, and Kevin Durant said the same thing as well. It wasn't as ugly as a breakup as what LeBron did. But 4 years down the road, I guess it's possible, but I think that all depends on what happens next year and the year after that.
They keep winning rings.
If he keeps winning rings, and maybe if he gets, maybe if he wins more, that's actually better for Oklahoma City because he got the rings, and then maybe he can go back. If
he
keeps losing with Golden State, and Oklahoma City's roster, I mean, they're in a bit of trouble here because now they have Russell Westbrook, who is a soon-to-be free agent next season, and he's likely not going to sign a deal with the Thunder now because, again, the salary cap's going up again next season, so he can get even a bigger deal.
Right.
So the Thunder are like, well, what do we do from here? Do we just blow the whole thing up now? We can trade Westbrook for a lot of pieces before he becomes a free agent and we lose out on him. Because Durant's leaving, they don't get anything for him.
Right. I'd definitely make the move and start dealing things. It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Meanwhile, the Bulls got Rajon Rondo. Get real excited for that, Brian.
I know you've been taught. You seem very excited about a, what'd you call him, an old man or a proven veteran?
Aging veteran. Yes.
Or old man, either one. Aging veteran. In a non-rebuilding, but retooling and reworking and rethinking phase.
I don't think anybody knows what the Bulls are doing, including the Bulls.
No. Well, at least we still have Benny and the Lovables. So
yes,
things are good. Who's still on that team? Do we know? And I saw Luol Deng did he leave the Heat?
Yeah, he got 4 years, $72 million from the Lakers.
Wow.
So the Bulls' starting lineup is... That might give me a headache just to
Jimmy Butler. We know we got Jimmy Butler and Rajon Rondo.
Rajon Rondo running the point.
There we go. That's all we need. Two players and three scrubaloos. That's all. That's all it's going to take. Hey, listen. It's time. It's time to once again head back.
Smooth. I love it. This should be a daily feature.
I enjoy everybody having a little theme. Little something for them.
I'll take some ownership in the Kenny Loggins today.
Why not? It's 6:20. It's time to check the traffic trouble spots in the danger zone with Jibriah.
He's American man.
Wow. And I look up to the danger zone. Jim knows who's
I know
thinks
it's a wrestling
on this
one,
is.
But I don't know which one this is.
Kevin shaking his head.
Yeah,
he does not know.
I'm not sure about this one. Is this Miley Cyrus?
This is Miley Cyrus' theme. When she walks into the ring. All right, Cody, you win. Who is it?
This is a listener request. That's Hulk Hogan's WCW theme.
The listener. We've opened the theme song request line. So, this is when he was a heel.
When he went WCW, yeah.
Was anybody fooled by the black makeup beard that he wore?
Well, this was even
Hollywood.
That's Hollywood Hulk.
Oh, that's Hollywood Hulk.
But I think that he had another theme. That this wasn't the Hollywood one, was it?
No, this is not.
Right.
Oh, it's not. Oh,
pre NWO Hollywood.
Holy cow! You guys have gone down the rabbit hole of wrestling theme songs tied into the festive holiday. Very. The listeners are. Let me ask you this, Cody. You'll probably know this. How many wrestlers have patriotic type theme songs?
I will have played all of them by the end.
Oh, really?
Do you have more?
Probably four or five. Not that I can think of.
Okay.
Really?
I think Jim does.
Do
you have more? Because I have about 17 of them.
I heard James Brown living in America on that Rokan promo from Rocky. That was a nice touch.
That was a good one.
I didn't play it because it was already on the promo, and I didn't want to be redundant.
Right. No. Well, I guarantee you, Duffy isn't using any wrestler intro music on the promo, you are unique.
I'm trying to be innovative.
You are. See? It's the buzzword.
It's actually Kurt Angle's fourth eye. Intensity, integrity, intelligence, innovative.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That is becoming the new... I want that on our business cards. I want that on the billboard, Cody, for the show.
Mm-hmm.
If you could get that done, talk to marketing. Because you know they always answer our calls and give us exactly what we need. So
anytime I buy a new phone that's not blocked, yes, they listen.
For the one call. And then they go, oh, it's him again. What's going on with that? Hey, here's good news. If you were wondering, hey, has anybody been crowned Miss Hitler 2016 lately? Sure, a woman was crowned Miss Hitler 2016 at a disturbing neo-Nazi pageant. Like, we needed that adjective to describe what happened. to just, did it, oh, it was a neo-Nazi pageant. How was it? Was it innovative? Nope. It was disturbing. Why did that strike you so funny, Cody? The segue?
Because you're a funny guy, Brian.
No, that's not true.
No.
A Scottish woman who goes by the disturbing pseudonym that we can't even mention on this program. She was named the winner of the Miss Hitler competition.
How many times is the word disturbing in this story?
I think it's one blanket word, one blanket use, and they figure if you read past the headline, you've got to figure it's disturbing. The pageant was held by a Britain-based radical youth movement, National Action. The woman, she was interviewed under a pseudonym. Shocking that she wouldn't want her identity out there. You know, if you're crowned Miss Hitler, you'd think you'd want to make the most of that. Maybe wear a sash? I don't know what you'd be doing, but no. She was interviewed under a pseudonym. Said she was an activist who had dedicated her life to the group. I enjoy reading, browsing esoteric memes. It almost sounds like you, Cody, on your Tinder profile. I enjoy reading and browsing esoteric memes. You left out the... You, thankfully, do not have the I'm an avowed white supremacist tag at the end of yours. Ah, my goodness. So there were photos uploaded about the pageant. This is it's disturbing that this is actually happening, that there's a contest somewhere for Miss Hitler. I don't know. I bring this up on the 4th of July. Why? Just because to know as we celebrate our independence and all the lovely things we have in this country, to know that this is out there, that there's somebody who's very excited, some woman who can't believe it. Now, they don't say what she gets as a prize. What do you think that comes? You know, usually at Miss America, they get a nice tiara, a sash, some flowers, maybe a scholarship. I can only imagine what they give her.
One of those mustache things.
Hopefully it's somebody that just comes up and donkey punches her. That would be the only prize you need there. Yeah. You don't hear donkey punch much anymore.
No, that was good.
Yeah, I tried to, you know, that was innovative, Kevin, right there.
I like that. I'm writing that down
please,
for future reference.
Innovate that while we do this on WGN. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes, Brian Noonan in for Ro and Anna. They are on vacation this week. I will be with you all week, along with Kevin and Violetta. And I don't know, I think Judy might be on vacation. I'm not sure.
She is. It's me. You're still.
Oh, you're going to be? Well, that'll be great. So Veronica will be with us all week as well. That'll be a lot of fun. You know what else is fun? And there, Cody played. That was another listener request. I didn't know that. I like when the listeners request the bump music. We'll see what they can request. We only have one or two left, so we'll see what they get in. And Cody's pretty good about listening to your requests. Another man who listens to everybody's requests because he could be one of the kindest men in America. Happy 4th of July, Tom Skilling.
Happy 4th of July, Brian. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Did you have a great weekend?
Very nice weekend. Yes, indeed.
Did you do any special 4th of July activities?
Well, we got together with family members, roommate
nice.
Family members, and so we had a good time. Yeah, the folks in from Minnesota and been drinking up this weather. It's been beautiful, hasn't it?
I couldn't have asked for a better holiday weekend. Today is a little, but...
Yeah, could have been a little hotter and a little sunnier. I'm sure some folks are saying, what do they mean? It's been kind of gray and all, but... boy, I don't know. Anytime you don't have to put on the air conditioner or have a heat advisory up, I figure you're doing pretty well.
No, I will agree. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday were all just wonderful.
Very nice, yes.
So people got a lot of good chance to enjoy some outdoor
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. There were some very big rains down south of us that passed south of us. You know, I will say this. I did say we dodged a bullet going into this weekend and referring to the fact the rain was going to hit us, but somebody did write and say, hey, we're awfully dry. We could actually...
Yeah.
Use some rain, but I think they knew what we meant.
Right.
Nice
people want to be
for the holidays.
Yeah, exactly. People want to be out this weekend.
Yeah.
We know we need the rain, and we hope it comes, you know, it's supposed to come this week at some point. So.
That's true. We've got a classic ring of fire pattern developing. There are heat advisories up and down the plains all the way from Texas up into Nebraska because in Iowa. because of the extreme heat out there.
Can you explain that, Tom? Because somebody texted in and said, "Will you ask Tom about the Ring of Fire in his forecast?"
Yeah.
What exactly is a Ring of Fire other than a great Johnny Cash song?
That's right, and it was a great song. Well, the Ring of Fire, if you look at the satellite imagery in this kind of pattern, you get this big dome of heat that plants itself over the center of the continent, and the jet stream runs around the periphery of this, and so too do the little disturbances that ignite some powerful thunderstorm clusters. So what you see in very practical, sensible weather terms is a big area with a lot of sunshine in the middle of the country, and then around it, these clusters of thunderstorms will rotate every so often. You have many rain-free hours between them, but when you get under them, they can really dump some rain. So what will happen is, starting as early as late tomorrow night in the pre-dawn hours of Wednesday morning, one of these clusters that will have fired out in the Dakotas will be rotating around the top of this hot air dome out in the plains and turning southeastward, and it could swipe parts of the Chicago area in the pre-dawn and hours immediately after dawn on Wednesday. And then the afternoon heating could pop a couple of thunderstorms again in the afternoon. Then another one of these clusters may develop, it looks like Thursday night into Friday morning early here, and affect us. So we'll have to watch just where these little clusters develop. But they rotate around in a clockwise manner, and so that's the term Ring of Fire. It looks like these thunderstorms are rotating in a circle, if you will, through the center of the country.
And will the whole ring then continue to move, or is it like any other front that kind of just fluctuates and then the ring kind of dissipates?
Oh, it's a good question. Well, these thunderstorms mix down cooler air. They do what thunderstorms do. They're big air conditioners in nature. So they will keep the heat from, it'll expand to a point, and then the outflows from these thunderstorms will kind of check the northward spread of this warm air. So we'll be right on the cusp of the hot, humid air, and every time one of these thunderstorm clusters come through, they'll mix down some more moderate warm air instead of the hot stuff, and we'll keep the real blazing heat out through Kansas City and St. Louis and areas out to the west and south of us. But what'll happen is, Brian, it looks like this one dome kind of shifts off to the east of us. We get some cooling and lowering of the humidity over the weekend, and then the next dome develops in next week, and so we go back into the hot weather again, and probably we'll see some thunderstorm clusters develop around the periphery of that hot air dome. Now, whether we'll be in those as directly as this one, we'll see. But that's where we get our chance of rain. The problem is, you know, rains in summer dump on one area, and another area nearby doesn't get anything. So,
and the heat's like that, too, Tom, because I was watching this morning, and in the south, there's... Like, would that be under the Ring of Fire where they're getting that severe heat across Texas and Louisiana and things like that?
Dallas and Oklahoma City and Wichita and places like that. Yes, indeed. And Omaha is in the heat advisory now. So Topeka, Kansas, and Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Texarkana, areas like that.
Now, the big question that everybody has, when we talked to you on Memorial Day, and I don't understand how you have to work all these holidays, but that's between you and your agent and management at TV.
I'll tell you, you know, the weather goes on all the time.
Yes, it does. But on Memorial Day, I know you guys were having a giant cookout at the TV station. Do you do that for 4th of July as well?
Indeed. I wish we could get some of this down to you, because
we
had our mammoth WGN News barbecue this evening. And I must say, the troops have been coming in and out, ferrying this products from the grill back here to the weather office.
Oh, and it's got to be making you crazy hungry.
No, they came back with some fruit salad and a chicken kebab here.
Nice.
With vegetables. So that's pretty healthy.
That's a nice alternative to, you know, what you could be eating at
a
barbecue.
That's right. Now, how about you? Have you been getting something good to eat today?
No. Tom, the radio is not like TV. This building is empty. There's Cody, and myself, and Kevin, and Jim.
I should have offered, Brian. I've been grilling on Smoky Joe up here in the sports studio all afternoon. Got some hot dogs and bratwurst. Wow. I should have brought some down for you. I apologize.
Yeah, see the kind of respect I get, Tom?
Well, and it's interesting because we wondered why all the fire trucks were parked in front of.
I did think of that, but then Veronica wasn't reporting on anything in the news, so I thought it was just a false alarm.
It was a little difficult to breathe and deliver the sports.
Right.
But it was worth it for the encased meats.
I thought it was just the lens on the camera was fogging up.
Right.
I had no idea what was going on up there.
You know, I had a weather office burned down once when I was in Madison in the radio building there, and it filled the whole studio up, the whole building up with smoke.
How did it burn down? Were you smoking in there?
No. I had these old weather maps I was saving. And there was a space heater in it because I was in what amounted to a closet in the back of the building where they stored tapes. But they accommodated me with a little office in there. And so I had my boxes of maps. And I'd had a young student in interviewing me about the weather for a project. And he must have kicked the space heater on. So I left the office to go up the hill to the TV building to Xerox something off. And when I came down, the newsman was in with the fire extinguisher with flames reaching out of my office.
Oh, my God.
This was all in 5 minutes' time. I'll tell you one thing, Brian. I have a new respect for fire. I don't, not that I didn't in the past, but I don't think I ever realized how fast it could spread. It was an education for me just how dangerous that is.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it is. And I also found out that you have different kinds of fire extinguishers. And it turns out all the fire extinguishers we had nearby were for electrical fires. So you sat there and spraying this chemical all over the fire, and it wasn't going out, you know? And then it was I forget how they grade these fire extinguishers, but we found out it was they were more suited for putting out electrical fires, and this was what amounted to a trash fire.
So you need more water foam rather than the chemicals.
Yeah, and the fire department was out in no time at all and put it out, but I remember the guy on the air supposedly said, you're not going to believe this, folks, but the building is burning down around me, as you can imagine.
I like that he stayed on the air, though.
He did.
That's the kind of guy who's got broadcast chops.
That's what you would do.
Tom, you know that. I would stay on the air. One, because I want some publicity. And if it takes me staying on during a disaster,
well, the building
then
burns down around you,
right.
You'll do it, right, Brian?
You would, too. I know you.
I would.
If there was a any sort of weather emergency bearing down on Bradley Place,
right.
You would be the last person out of that building.
Absolutely. The building would come down on me before I'd move.
Do you have it, like the president has an emergency bunker. Do they have an emergency weather bunker with a camera down there where in case things were going bad, you could drop down into the bunker and keep broadcasting?
I've been told that the building is reinforced in this area.
That's
so
what they tell all of us, Tom.
I know.
To keep us working. Don't panic. The building's reinforced. You'll
right.
be fine.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I will.
Well, you know, it was amazing. Back in the 70s, it was during the Vietnam War up in Madison, and, of course, there were protests for that up there. And I remember we get bomb threats regularly into the radio station. In fact, radio and TV were in the same building. So everybody would evacuate the building, and the poor radio guy was left there not being told that there was anything going on. And he looked out front to see the entire staff, hundreds of people lined up, a block away. And he opened the door one time. One of the fellows and said, "What's going on?" And we said, "Oh, there's a bomb threat, you know." And he said, "Well, thanks for telling me."
Yeah, really. Well, he was expendable. We didn't like him anyway.
I guess.
If things go bad.
Thank God nothing happened. You know, we did not have an explosion.
Thank goodness.
But as I thought about it, we were also busy responding to the pleas to get out of the building. We didn't think about this poor guy who was in here merely
his work. Part-timers are expendable. That's what they tell us.
Well,
get rid of them.
Brian, that's certainly...
Dime a dozen, Tom. You've heard it tossed around up there at TV. Dime a dozen.
No. not our part-timers or our full... Nobody here.
Nobody.
We've got a good group.
It is... you don't think about it because, I mean, you report on these weather disasters all the time.
Yeah.
And granted, we're in this... We don't get, now there have been tornadoes in the loop, but we don't get that kind of thing. People don't really think about having to evacuate during a weather emergency here. In other parts of the country, they do, and they run drills and stuff, but we don't really do that here.
And, you know, it's interesting because I was out at O'Hare a couple weeks ago, and they have all the emergency, you know, they say here's a weather evacuation area. This is where you go. So thank goodness there are people among us who are thinking about this, and that is what we in the weather profession urge everybody, is to think about what you do.
Yeah, and I've always found it interesting when I've been somewhere where they get hurricanes or tsunamis along the side of the road, just like a roadside. It'll be the evacuation routes, and there'll be signs of a big wave, like crushing a person. I guess that's the way I have to go.
Right. And you know, up in Alaska, they have tsunami in Hawaii. Tsunami warning or tsunami escape routes so that you know where to go in the event of that. But, yeah.
I guess it's just all where you're living.
It is.
Are you a big fireworks fan, Tom? Are you ready to watch tonight? I know Dean is hosting on Channel 9.
I know. It's always a spectacular display. And it's really amazing because if you position yourself properly, it doesn't matter. You're starting 3 days before the 4th of July. If you look in the right direction,
yes,
you see a display. And I find some of the ones that are put on by folks freelance in the neighborhood are sometimes, it's kind of frightening to think people have that kind of, explosive
yes.
power at their command. But I know last night in my neighborhood up on the north side, the things were going off, the fireworks and all, and my dogs were horrified.
Oh, I know. That's everybody with pets just dreads this time of year. They were going on, people across the alley from me, 2:30, 3 in the morning, they were still blowing stuff up. I'm like, all right, I get it,
yeah,
but
right.
can we
cool it?
How about midnight, 1 o'clock? Can we start it up again tomorrow? Do we have to keep going all night?
It's a good point. It's like when we win a tournament or something and the horns are still honking at 5:30 in the morning. You have to get up and go to work,
right.
You know?
How excited are you that a team you don't even play for just won a championship? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Tom, can we get a quick forecast before
sure.
I let you go, since I've been monopolizing your conversation?
No, it's all right, Brian. We've got haze and some fog tonight. There'll be clouds that break at times. So there are a couple little sprinkles here and there, but they won't amount to much. And we look for a low tonight of 72, mid-60s in spots. Tomorrow, the sun will emerge. It'll be hazy sun, but it'll break from the clouds. And we'll get up to 87 inland. Spot or two could get up close to 90 and low 80s at the beaches. Then tomorrow night, the thunderstorms could come into part of the area late. 40% coverage on those. And a couple of clusters of storms separated by many rain-free hours and borderline hot and humid on Wednesday with a 91 inland, but mid-80s at the shoreline. And 92 on Thursday and 90 on Friday. And looks like about 84 cooler at the lake on Saturday and about the same thing Sunday. And then we're back up in 90-degree territory next week again, so it'll get warm. But any one of these little thunderstorm clusters starting late tomorrow night might produce some downpours, but they'll be separated by many hours where it's not raining. So it's not like we're going mm-hmm. to be locked inside with continuous rainfall.
No big washout then?
Right. Well, there could be in spots. Some locally heavy rains. The guidance we get on this is anywhere from about 0.2 inches on the low end of the spectrum. This will be total rainfall this week to as much as 2.2 inches in the area's hardest hit. So there's going to be a big spread. Some areas there'll be, you know, feast or famine the way it normally is in warm season rain distribution. But there will at least be some rain in the area, and it's going to get warm and summer-like.
All right.
7 consecutive days below normal, so through today, Brian.
Let's heat it up, Tom. Let's get a little summer in
here. Yeah, but 11 of the next 14 days will be above normal. So
look at that. Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, Tom, I will talk to you again tomorrow.
Happy 4th, Brian.
Happy 4th of July to you as well.
And good to talk to you, Brian.
Good
you
talking to
care.
You. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Tom. Thanks. That's a great Tom Skilling. You hear him every night at 6:30 here on the Rocon Show. Oh, we get to go one more time.
That's I can't think of a better way to end a 9-hour traffic shift than with a little Kenny Loggins.
Go back to the danger zone where he has been on it all day. His eyes to the skies, the tower being buzzed. It is Jim Ryan with the traffic trouble spots.
Still difficult.
Very nice, Cody, wrapping it up with another listener request on the request line. Is that what we have? The request line. I like that you open it up. You'll take requests. You're like a top 40 jock.
Thanks, Brian. That's what I try to do.
Yeah, talk it up to the post.
Love to hit the post. Back to you, Brian.
Thank you, Cody. Hey, speaking of hitting the post, it has nothing to do with the return of Teddy Roosevelt, but I was just trying to make a ham-handed segue.
Nice transition, Brian.
We welcome the return of Teddy Roosevelt, presented by Conasec and Dillon Trial Attorneys, August 13th, 10 a.m. at the MAC on the College of DuPage campus. Join WGN Radio's John Williams in a conversation with the 26th President of the United States, Teddy Roosevelt, or do you say Roosevelt? You want bold, bombastic bravado? I love alliteration. So, yes, I do. That's our guy. It's 2016 and perhaps one of the most important years in U.S. presidential history. We're here to discuss what was, what is, and what may be to come. And we're starting it all with Teddy Roosevelt. Tickets to the return of Teddy Roosevelt are on sale now. Go to WGNRadio.com/events and get all the information. You can buy your tickets online or over the phone. The shows are going to sell out, so get your tickets now. Because if you wait, don't come crying to me. I don't have any. John doesn't give me tickets. I'm not a stub. Hub. You got to get them yourself. See you on Saturday, August 13th at the College of DuPage. The Return of Teddy Roosevelt is presented by Conasec and Dillon Trial Attorneys and sponsored by Visit Springfield. And transportation is provided by O'Hare Midway Limousine. Getting ready to wrap things up here for the Rocon Show with Anna DeFlantis. I will be back again tomorrow. We're heading out to the rest of our 4th of July. Kevin, I know you've been barbecuing meats up there all day. Are you going elsewhere to continue your 4th of July, or are you just going to continue
smoking up on the 4th? So I'm going to wrap up my grilling here on the 7th floor in the sports studio, clean up the mess a little bit, and then go home and do some traditional grilling in the backyard.
Take it outside. That's where it should be done. And Cody, I know, is going to a barbecue. Is that correct? You're heading out to do some grilling?
Going to get some bison burgers.
Really?
Got bison burgers at Trader Joe's.
Look at you with the plug.
I always eat bison burgers.
Do you? Because you like the low-fat content?
They're better.
Taste-wise or health-wise?
Magical properties.
Wow, all right. Some healing process.
Well, listen, Buffalo Bill Cody is responsible for most of the buffalo dying, so I figure I got to take up the mantle as Cody Goff.
Wow. All right, that was convoluted, but I kind of understand where you were going with it.
I appreciate
that. It was odd, but uniquely you to end the program.
I would say that is innovative, Cody.
Innovative thinking. We bring it all full circle. And that's Matt Bubal, that's where we drop the mic and walk out.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Boom,
how I found
mic
that
drop. Out. Innovative, wow. Bison burgers, we're done. We're out. You're going to have fun.
What are you going to do tonight, Ben?
Oh, my wife made potato salad. So I'm going home to have some potato salad.
And I think I'm going to...
No, I'm going to grill something. Not bison burgers. Maybe I'll get Kevin's grill upstairs.
You're not sure what to grill?
I think I'm grilling hot dogs or something. I don't know. Something simple. It's going to be late.
Yeah.
I don't want to eat big. What did you do to enjoy your big 4th of July holiday?
We had a little parade in West Dundee. We went to the Sleepy Hollow Parade. We were at Arlington Park's fireworks last night.
Wow. So, how were they?
They're always awesome. Yeah. They really do it up really nice.
I love fireworks. I can't get enough. I do.
Do you run up to Wisconsin or out to Crazy Cat?
No, when I lived I lived in a border town, we like to call it Calumet City. And and we did a couple times go over and maybe Smokey and the Bandit back a truckload of illegal fireworks and blow them up in the alley.
5 minutes away. That was
I was literally half a block away.
I grew up in Munster.
Oh, okay. So I was right at State Line Road and 159th. I could basically walk over and buy illegal fireworks and just carry them back under the shadow of night. But now I don't. Now they scare me, quite frankly.
Really?
Yeah, well, there's a reason that they're selling them, like, buy one, get 18 free, because there's not a lot of quality control.
You don't think so?
No, so I'm not going to risk life and limb where I can go somewhere, like Rockford or Arlington Park, or last night I saw a beautiful display in Milwaukee, and watch professionals do it. Yeah. And if they blow their hands off, I don't see them.
They have insurance for that as well.
Right. I don't need to worry about it. So you've been parading and blowing things up. What are you going to do to ramp up your 4th then? How do you top all that
here.
Stuff?
We're going to fill in for Justin here on the download here till 11 o'clock, and we've got a lot of stuff coming up, including Phil Rogers. You remember from the Chicago Tribune, writes for MLB.com now, halfway point of the season. So we'll chat about where our Cubs and our Sox. You're wearing the gorgeous 1983
red, white, and blue
jersey.
That's why I went with it today. But, yes, so that would be fun.
I was hoping you would go with the 70s shorts, but...
Well, you don't know what I'm wearing underneath, but that's that. Well, have a great show. Good seeing you, Matt. Enjoy the rest of your 4th of July. Thank you, everybody, for listening and being part of the show. Thanks, Jim, up in the danger zone. Good seeing you today. We will see you again, I am sure. Now let's get out of here, because this is Chicago's very own 720. We do. Oh, wait, we still have a spot? We got a PSA or something? 30-second spot? Yeah, like this.
Last year, nationwide, 300,000 veterans were homeless for at least one night. And every night, 800 of them are right here in Chicago. Homeless veterans. Those words should never be used in the same sentence. Rags of Honor is the only custom silkscreen and apparel company devoted to hiring homeless veterans and using only made-in-America goods. Visit ragsofhonor.us and purchase one of our branded tees. Or let us produce your next custom order. You can make a difference in the life of a veteran this July 4th. Go to ragsofhonor.us. That's ragsofhonor.us. They had our backs. Let's keep the shirt on theirs.
I just wanted to make sure Cody was finally paying attention. I knew we had that spot. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. The news is sponsored by Builder Supply Outlet. 7 o'clock, and do my eyes deceive me, or is that, in fact, Don Norton?
Mr. Noonan, good to see you tonight.
Good to see you, Don. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
We'll do. Happy 4th of July.
And
happy, happy cloudy skies tonight, but you'll catch some fireworks. It'll be okay. It's 76 degrees at O'Hare.